This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
Goffney Furniture in Sydney is impressive. Find out for yourself. Go to Goffney, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney. For your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service free of charge. Extremely high quality furniture, priced just right at Goffney. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Good vision starts with healthy eyes. Primary Eye Care Associates encourages you to have a comprehensive vision and eye health exam periodically, even if no symptoms of a problem exist.
We recommend that parents of young children bring their babies to Primary Eye Care Associates for their first exam between 6 and 12 months of age. This visit is free of charge through a special public health program called Infant C.
Dr. Karen Fortman is one of 8 outstanding doctors of optometry at Primary Eye Care Associates.
And we want to ensure that school-age children have normal visual development, too. They must meet the demands of the classroom and the activities and sports that they play.
For your convenience, no matter what age, Primary Eye Care has locations in Sydney, Fort Loramie, Jackson Center, Troy, and St. Paris.
Continued eye care is important for adults, too. We want to keep your eyes healthy for as long as you live. Primary Eye Care wants you to see your best, look your best, and feel your best.
Your Primary Eye Care team of over 50 associates is available weeknights and Saturday mornings.
We're committed to caring for your vision and eye health for your lifetime.
Visit us online at primaryeyecare.org. Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veteran Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veteran Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
Good evening, high school football fans. I'm Jack Kramer along with Chuck McBee. It's a beautiful homecoming evening here at Sydney as the Yellow Jackets take on the Piqua Indians. It's the first GWOC North game for these two clubs, each team 3-2 on the season. Of course, the battered helmet is at stake, and it's the renewal of a rivalry that now totals 123 games. Piqua leads the series 77-39. There have been 6 ties. Sydney, by the way, tonight is seeking its first stretch of back-to-back wins over Piqua since 1978-1979. Any way you cut it, Chuck, it's always a great head-to-head matchup, i.e. last year, 34-33 Sydney in the game at Piqua. Piqua scored 33 points the year before, beat Sydney right here 33-13.
Yeah, I mean, last year's game was one of our top two regular season games that we had. It was a struggle. Both teams played great, and Piqua decided to try to go for two to win the game after they scored with about 15 seconds to go in the game, got stopped, and Sydney won the game, went on to the playoffs. Piqua would have won that game. Piqua would have gone to the playoffs. Right. So, man, that's what this means. Plus, 12 miles apart, these kids know each other. They see each other in the summertime. Piqua Sydney for the kids, I think, is more of a rivalry than Piqua Troy is. Now, for the parents, it's the other way around.
Bill Knees, 27 years, head coach at Piqua. What a football culture he's established for the Indians. And Adam Dungis, in 8 years at Sydney, has done a stellar job as well.
Well, he turned them around because he came in with a team that didn't win a game. His first year, they didn't win a game. And from that point on, they have just gotten better and better and better. If they would have been able to hang on to Andre Gordon at quarterback this year, they would have been a better football team. But I think that the quarterback now is doing a real nice job for them. And they're getting better and better.
Yeah, the team victorious tonight, Chuck, wins its first real significant game of the year. Each team is 3-2. Neither club has beaten a real potent outfit, although Bell Fountain is 3-2. And Sydney beat the Chieftains by a scant 3 points in a game we covered here on scoresbroadcast.com.
Right. Well, I mean, they both lost to Trotwood, and there's no disgrace in that.
Right.
Sydney lost to St. Mary's, who was an outstanding football team.
Yep.
And Piqua lost to CJ, who was an outstanding football team.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their first chance, I think, for one of these two teams is going to get a quality win tonight.
I'm splitting hairs. This game may be more important for Sydney than Piqua, given the fact that Sydney's schedule, with the exception of Troy, is loaded with Division Threes
right.
from here on out. Piqua plays in Division Three, Sydney in Division Two. Right now, each club is on the outside looking in, of course, in the playoffs. But I tell you what, a 7-3 finish for Sydney, a 7-3 finish for Piqua, and these two clubs have got shots at 7th or 8th in their respective regions and their divisions.
Well, I mean, that's what you play for. I mean, this is the last year that... with Trotwood out of the division now, everybody now has a fair shot of winning their division, their league.
Yep.
I think that was a great move. But you play, A, to try to beat your rivals. Piqua wants to beat Sydney Troy. Sydney wants to beat Piqua Troy. And then you play to get into the playoffs.
A little bit about outstanding personnel in this game tonight. Let's preview Micah Karn for Piqua. He's the Mr. Do-It-Everything at quarterback. He also... punts and place kicks, outstanding player, and he's got a bevy of running backs behind him, a quartet of wide receivers. He'll spread the ball around. Piqua's strength is its offensive line, 5 of 6 up front are seniors. And how about Sydney with its unbelievable number of wide receivers and skill players, absolutely loaded. We'll hear from head coach Adam Dungis in a minute. He said to me this week, Chuck, in a typical year, he'd have some younger players up on the varsity at wideouts, but he's got so many high-quality performers at that position. There are some younger people who can't get on the field. That's a good thing, the depth he's got at the speed spots out on the gridiron.
Well, the key for Piqua tonight is getting pressure on the quarterback, because if they allow him to get the ball to the wideouts, they have team speed to burn, and they're an outstanding football team offensively when they get those young men active in the offense. If they can do that tonight, I think it's going to be a long night for the Indians.
And one of those featured guys for Sydney is Caleb Harris. He had 100 yards rushing last week against Fairborn. He's got over 500 on the year. He is an outside edge protector in the long passing game. He also blocks in the middle of the pass formation. He'll run it. He'll catch it. He'll return kicks. And tonight, he might even do some place kicking because of an injury to Halley.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a true Renaissance man right there. But you know, he's a senior. He's paid his dues, and you like to see a kid that has come up through and played behind a really good running back before he graduated last year. So, Bowser is at Northwestern now. He was as good a running back as I've seen in years. So he paid his dues, and now he's getting his chance as a senior, and that's what you like to see.
Yeah,
and they don't get to transfer. If they get beat out by somebody, they don't get to quit and go to another team like they've changed college football into.
Yeah, good point. But that Bowser, Rogers, Gordon era is behind us, and this Sydney team has really created an identity for itself here in 2018.
Absolutely, and I think it comes down to the fact that they still had a lot of skill players back. They Their offensive line has gotten better. Defensively, that's always been kind of a stickler for them, even in their really good years, the last couple of years. Their defense would give up some points, but I think they're playing better as a team now. They don't have one kid that they rely on constantly, right, like Rodgers, who was an absolute monster defensively.
We're going to hear from Sydney head coach Adam Dungis in just a minute. He'll be followed by Pickwick head coach Bill Neese. I'd like to let our listeners know here on scoresbroadcast.com that our anchor underwriting sponsors are American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center, the U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News with the very best sports page coverage around. Also, thank you, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney, Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville, Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville, and the In-Between, located just south of Botkins, where the food is not in between, it's out of this world. We'll run down our additional array of underwriting sponsors in just a moment for you. Sydney Yellow Jackets, big win on the road at Fairborn last week. It was homecoming for the Skyhawks, but Sydney, despite a slow start, ripped off three straight touchdowns, and head coach Dungis was pleased to see the good opening by his Yellow Jackets against the Skyhawks away from home last week.
It's one of those games that you might be a little bit of a trap game because they're not a bad football team. They've got some kids over there that can make some plays, particularly at the quarterback position and a couple of the skill spots. You know, you're going on the road, you're playing for at someone else's homecoming. You know, we're playing on grass, which is what we normally don't do. A little bit older stadium, older locker room. So some of that kind of stuff you kind of worry about whether your players, how they're going to handle it and whether they're going to get themselves ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I thought we started off just a little bit slow, maybe for the first half of that first quarter, and then once we got things rolling, I was happy how we jumped out to that 21-0 lead and then continued to play hard the whole game and leave there injury-free.
Assess the play of your quarterback, Ryan Dunham, coming along fine.
The games that we've lost, we've had a whole bunch of turnovers. And the games that we've won, we've limited the amount of turnovers. And obviously, when you're the quarterback and the turnovers are happening, a lot of times you're going to get the blame for that. But as we pointed out to kids, you know, sometimes those turnovers, you know, he makes bad throws, but sometimes a kid will run the wrong route or they don't catch the ball and it's tipped in the air and someone else catches it from the opposing team, or we miss a block, so he's got to hurry a throw. You know, it's a collaborative effort. What we also got to do better on the other side of the ball is when turnovers do happen and you got a quick change of momentum there and our defense has got to get back on the field, our defense has got to do a better job of responding to that. Against Trotwood, we had 7 turnovers and Trotwood scored off every single one of them. Now, when our defense went out there without having to go out there after a turnover, we made them punt 5 times and we also intercepted them 1 time or had a fumble, forced fumble 1 time. So our defense has got to do a better job of picking us up when things like that happen. But overall, I've been pretty happy. We got a lot of playmakers and the quarterback's just got to distribute that ball.
Yeah, Josiah Hudgens, boy, he can't play better as a receiver. He was really good, big plays against Fairborn.
No, he definitely did, and it's something that we tell our kids. You know, we've got 7 or 8, maybe 9 playmakers. Yep. That any night, that guy can score two or three touchdowns and make some big plays for us. And, you know, there's only one football to go around. So when the ball's not getting to you, you got to do your job and be an unselfish player and make those blocks and spring your teammate forward. And our kids are starting to do a better job of buying into that. They also all want the ball, and I guess that's good. I guess you'd rather have players that want the ball than the ones that don't want it. So they're always hungry for the football, but, you know, there's only one to go around, and you got 7 or 8 guys, and only 5 of them can be on the field at one time. But they know when they get out there, they got to go, and they got to block, and they got to do their job.
As you've been a head coach here at Sydney, have you had a deeper team at these skill positions? You're really blessed. A lot of quality talent.
No, that's a good point. No, we at the skill position, this is the deepest we've had.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got some pretty good younger kids that could be some decent skill players for us that maybe 4 or 5 years ago would have been playing on Friday night, and now they can't get on the field.
Sure.
So that's good. You know, every year I think the quality of our players, as far as varsity caliber players, has gone up. So that's what we want as a program, and hopefully we continue that rise where, you know, we're not playing kids that shouldn't be playing on Friday night, and we got varsity only guys, and I think we're getting to that spot.
Mm-hmm. Adam Dungis, head coach of Sydney, our guest before the Sydney Pickwick football game tonight. Speaking of skill players, Caleb Harris, how would you define his style of running? What are his strengths?
He's a jack of all trades for us. You know, he's got 500 yards rushing on the year, somewhere around that range, and you know, he can come out of the backfield and catch some passes. Also, he's a fearless blocker on the edge if we have to roll our quarterback out, or he stays in for pass protection. He also does a tremendous job for us on defense at that strong safety position. He's just a kid that can do it all for us. He takes care of his body, you know, pound for pound. He's one of our strongest kids. He's very in tune to what his body needs and taking care of it and eating and hydrating and all that kind of stuff. He's come a long way as a leader and as a person also. So it's been neat to see his develop the last 4 years, but he is definitely a guy that can do a little bit of everything for us.
Coach, you mentioned earlier about the importance of the defense responding. Wow, has Christian Redderer ever responded?
Yeah, you know, that's the linebacker position. We play three linebackers, I guess, and we've got 5 to 6 guys that we rotate in a game. And between him playing the Mike position, then Ryan Cagle coming in, you know, we feel like we got two pretty good linebackers, and sometimes we get both those guys on the field. But, you know, Christian has done a great job the last few years. And he's a kid when he was in junior high, was pretty fast, but unfortunately the vertically challenged part hasn't caught up to him. So he's a short kid, but he's made adjustments in his game this year, and he plays with good leverage, and he's still fast. He's got a knack for the football more than what he did last year. And he's doing a nice job for us on the defensive side of the ball.
A terrific game a year ago, Sidney at Pickwell. Yellow Jackets won it, denying the 2-point conversion on the last play of the game to win it by a single point. Cast of characters a little different than a year ago, but still two pretty good 3-2 football teams. Important clash, a major significance in the home game against Pickwell.
Yeah, you know, this is homecoming. It's a battle for the for the battered helmet also, but, you know, if implications, it's your first GWAC North game or first, you know, GWAC North conference game. There's playoff implications here for them and down to Division III and us in Division II. You know, there's a lot riding on it, and you are correct. As far as the main players for each team, it's a completely different team for both of us. It's a completely different overhaul. You know, they had some tremendously good players last year that have graduated, and some of those guys have gone on play collegiately, and we're in the same boat. So, but it's still two quality football teams, two football teams that, you know, believe they can win a conference championship, two football teams that believe they can get in the playoffs, and it's going to be a great game.
Adam Dungis, head coach of the Sidney Yellow Jackets, who are 3-2 on the year, having lost to St. Mary's 35-7, then a winner over Bellefontaine and a thriller 31-28, routed Dayton-Belmont 38-6, fell to Trotwood-Madison 41-7, and beat up on Fairborn a week ago by a score of 40-12. 27 years for Bill Knees as the mentor of the Pickwell Indians. His club graduated 23 seniors a year ago, but his returning players, said Coach Knees, have worked very hard in the weight room and in physical training to get better. And Coach Knees is pleased with his club's progress in 2018. Despite the graduation losses in 2017.
You know, luckily we have the weight room, and I think that helps be able to bolster, you know, some of the things that happened in graduation. But we had an excellent graduation class. We had Ben Smeezing, probably one of the best linebacker running backs we've had in our program in a long time. We graduated a quarterback and a receiver that both broke all of our passing records. And I think that was kind of the cornerstone of our team. Also, our secondary pretty much was decimated by graduation. So we had a lot of holes to pick up during the course of the off season. The big thing that bolsters us right now is the depth and the experience of our offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your offensive and defensive formations. How have you changed over the years? And what's your look here this season on both sides of the ball?
I think the only thing we've really changed is we run more out of shotgun. We still run a form of the option. It's the spread option now. We still read certain defensive linemen. We just read different defensive linemen like everybody else does. We're still able to execute our off-tackle power game, which is important. And I think, you know, even though the statistics not show it all the time, we are a team that likes to throw the football. But we will throw it when we're successful. We're not going to throw it just to walk around and say, hey, we throw the ball 45 times a game. So I think offensively, we're usually a two-back offense. We're blessed at Pickwell that we always have great running backs. We always have two and three of them, so it's really hard to feature that one guy unless it's maybe Brandon Sain or Scott Foster or Sean Mitchell, someone like that.
Sure.
Defensively, we're an even front defense. defense and evolved into a two safety look for a little bit more often than what we usually do, because we're seeing teams that run a little bit more of a spread, a little bit more of a stretch vertically with the offense. So we're going to have to be able to cover a little bit more spots.
Hey, you're 3-2 in 5 games. You've lost to two very good clubs. What improvements have you made in 5 weeks?
I think the biggest thing that we're improving on is our perimeter game. I think our perimeter game is getting better every week. I think sometimes when you play an excellent team like we played with CJ or like we played with Trotwood, you got to come out of those games and you got to take a couple, you're going to lose a couple battles here and there, but you got to make sure that you come out healthy, you come out with your confidence, and you don't end up and lose the war.
Bill Neese, head coach at Piqua, our guest before tonight's game between Piqua and Sydney here at Sydney High School. Take a moment, reflect back on this Piqua-Sydney series. The game last year was a terrific high school football game. I know people who heard about it at halftime and came in the third and fourth quarter to watch the end of it. It was just a super contest. But it's been quite a rivalry over the years, and you've been a big part of it.
I think it's an excellent rivalry, and I think over the years there's been some ups and downs. I think Sydney's very stable. I think Sydney's got a great culture going over there, and this game is now taking on a lot more importance with the fact that Sydney is a contender for the playoffs, and this game has a lot more meaning than just a battered helmet. Although that's important, I think, for both communities, I think there's some other significance to it in terms of game 11.
The team that wins this game would happen to go on knock off Troy. It's postseason for sure, no doubt.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously it's a little early to talk about something like that, but you are correct that this game is important. And actually, once you get through your first 5 games and you start getting into the GWOC North, everybody's coming in with very good records. And so I think every win's going to be important in order for us to be able to push on. We've got a couple teams, and I think everybody's saddled with a couple teams that haven't had a lot of wins. And so I think those second-level points are going to be very important.
Yeah, take a moment and talk about the maturation of the GWOC North and the league as it would appear next year moving forward.
I think the league itself is almost, heading into a situation where everybody's pretty evenly matched. I think everybody is essentially the old GMVC, so to speak, where, everybody's got that, they're within 30 minutes of one another, got a good rivalry, competitive, those type of things. So I think it's important that a lot of tradition evolve out of this.
Your team's emphasis this week in trying to corral Sydney's skill players.
I think the big thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure that we are tackling in space. I think we work on that quite a bit during the course of the year, and specifically this week. I think we also want to make sure that we get some pressure on the quarterback and not have to do it with more than 4 guys, and sacrificing some things underneath. They have different types of passing, whether or not it be rollout, whether or not it be their play action. They take some shots down the field. They got a lot of weapons, so it's going to be interesting to see if we can cover everything.
Bill Neese, head coach of the Piqua Indians. It is a fantastic night for high school football here at Sydney. Mitch Hoying, athletic director at Sydney High School, said he expected around 4,000 for this game. People still coming in. Chuck, down below, the Sydney side is nearly full already.
Sydney's got a good crowd. Piqua's is still filing in. Why would you not come? It's Friday night. It's beautiful. What else are you going to do? And you're going to be home by 10:30, so if you ever have other plans, you're just getting the start of the evening.
We'll take a one-minute break. Like to remind our listeners, they have joined us on scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
This very popular location for out-of-this-world food is right in between Bodkin's, Anna, New Bremen, and Jackson Center. But people come from towns everywhere.
My husband and I have heard about In-Between's great reputation for years. We finally drove up to the In-Between Tavern from 30 miles away late last year and have been here several times since.
And you, too, will return to the In-Between for out-of-this-world chops, steaks, fish, chicken, and more.
I've been eating fried chicken at restaurants for nearly 20 years, and the In-Between has the very, very best chicken I think I've ever had.
Your whole family will like the In-Between.
Tonight, seven of us, including five children, ate delicious pizza for less than $30. That's a super value.
At the In-Between, watch your favorite game on TV. In-Between those tasty bites.
The food at the In-Between is just out of this world.
At the south edge of Bodkins, 25 and 274.
American Architectural Glass in Fort Laramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field level windows that they installed down on the playing surface, so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge. And that's been a really big sell in recruiting, and it looks nice and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass, AAGinc.com.
Meet the team at Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine. Our physicians, trainers, and therapists are highly skilled and treat injuries unique to student athletes. Wilson athletic trainers serve specific schools and are on site at sports contests. The Injured Athlete Clinic is open Mondays. Sports enhancement programs boost strength, speed, and flexibility. Phone 937-498-5548 or visit wilsonhospital.com. Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
This is Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee. We are back at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field, and just a couple minutes away from the kickoff of tonight's big game between 3-2 Sydney and 3-2 Piqua. Additional underwriting sponsors include Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place like Brookins. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, a world-class supplier. Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. John will give you his best shot always. Frisch is in Sydney, Troy and Tip City. What's your favorite thing? The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282 or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO. And in Anna Wells Brothers, Inc., which has grown to include eight expanding divisions. In Rushi, the Francis Schulte Company and Superior Aluminum, shout outs to them, plus the Jewelry Barn in Rushi. The Jewelry Barn, the gem of Rushi, will make your gift ideas come to life. The wind blowing out of the west, somewhat of a crosswind here at Sydney Memorial Stadium tonight. The Piqua Indians will kick off. I would imagine Sydney won the toss, chose to defer, Chuck?
No, I think Piqua won the toss and chose to defer. Or if Sydney won the toss, they chose to receive.
Oh, there you go. Sydney won it and did not defer, took the football.
So I didn't see the toss, but if Sydney's hitting the ball and they won the toss, then they chose to receive the ball.
So the Piqua Indians will boot it from north to south here at the start of this game. Micah Karn, the quarterback for Piqua on offense, also the place kicker, extremely versatile athlete. Interesting alignment here on the kickoff. All the players for Piqua are from one hash to the far sideline.
That's an Ohio State lineup.
At Sydney is aligned in a similar fashion. The kickoff by Karn bounces down to the 14. Sydney returns from that spot on the field up to about the 27 or 28. Josiah Hudgens, who's coming off a fine game receiving the football a week ago, dashed it back up the gridiron about 12 or 13 yards. Excellent coverage by Piqua, which hemmed him in on the far sideline.
Yeah, the tackle was Trenton Foster.
Yellow Jackets start first and 10 from their own 27. Sydney in the home, black. Black headgear, black shirts, black pants. Gold numbers, some white trim. Piqua the away, white from top to bottom. blue headgear, red numerals.
Fumble.
Opening play to start the game. Pickwick coughed it up, or I should say Sydney coughed it up, but the Yellow Jackets did retrieve it. Caleb Harris was Johnny on the spot for Sydney. Minus two on the play, second down, 12.
Yeah, he didn't get the handoff wasn't clean. He put it on his hip. Never got a chance to get the basketball. I've changed sports now.
Darren Taborn, Rotez Roberts, Keith Lee, Caleb Harris, Quamir Brown, Lathan Jones, among the wide receivers and backs who will touch the ball throughout the night for Sydney. We'll round out that offensive line for you in just a moment. Yellow Jackets, spread formation, two receivers left, two to the right. Signal caller Ryan Dunham, 5'11 junior. Flips it left flat, caught at the 21 behind the line of scrimmage. Good run after the catch out to the 31. Quamir Brown snared it. He zipped ahead, tripped up over the 30. And the play was good enough for about six. Sydney faces a third and six. We played 40 seconds here in the opening quarter. Keith Lee on the field as a flanker to the near side. Two split to the wide side for Dunham. And now the Yellow Jackets offensive linemen who were down in their stance rise up, get the play call from the near sideline. Possession down here, third and long. Here's Dunham whipping a bullet, caught at the 39. Good reception, run after catch over the 45 or the 48 or 49-yard line.
He had time. It's a timing route. Hit him in stride and 18-yard pass play for first down.
And on the receiving end on that last play for Sydney was Lathan Jones. Here's a power sweep to the left, and Sydney bolts ahead for a dozen more down inside the 40 to the 39. Guess who? Caleb Harris. He's got 1-1, 11 on his back. Good sprint by Caleb. Two plays, fine production, a first down on each. Sydney inside the 40. Dunham handoff. It's Harris again. No room over guard. He pops it outside tackle, and he is pushed out of bounds into the Sydney bench inside the 35 at the 37.
Now they're playing really fast, and that last two plays had Pickwick kind of off balance.
And it was Karn, who goes both ways much of the time for Pickwick, who came up to flush the Sydney ball carrier to the boundary. It went for four, second down and six for Sydney. At the pick with 34, we played a minute, 20 seconds, opening quarter. Inside handoff to Harris. He tries to break a tackle. He's dragged down by two or three white jerseys at the 31 or 32. And in there on the stop, Chuck, for the Pickwa Indians was?
That was McGee Kuhn, and I'll tell you what, he got him in a bear hug, and Harris just couldn't get away from him.
Harris could not elude Kuhn. Third and four for Sydney at the Pickwa 31 and a half.
They're in four down territory, so I wouldn't be shocked to see him run the ball here on third down.
I'd agree with you 100%. Dunham to throw. He's got time, and he throws it off the mark. That was an error on the Sydney quarterback. He got a man downfield between the far hash and sideline. It looked like it was Rotez Roberts who was free, and Dunham missed him off the mark badly, and it's fourth and four now for Sydney. 2 minutes gone, first quarter. Line of scrimmage, the pick with 32. Yellow Jackets must get to the 28 for a first down. Dunham in the pocket with time. Little flare run. He zips laterally across the field, inside the 25, twists it out of bounds at the 23. That's a tough play to stop if Dunham can survey the field a little bit.
I'll tell you what, that was a heck of a call, a well-designed play. There was no stopping that one.
First and 10, Sydney, 22 of Pickwa. Harris off tackle, slants down to about the 17. He's rolled to the turf at that spot. Good initial drive by Sydney. And it's Adam Dungis' version of the football fast break.
Yeah, they're playing fast.
Two receivers to the right for Sydney on second down and about four to go for a first down. 16-yard line of Pickwa. Four down linemen for the Indians. Inside handoff, it is Harris. He meets a stone wall. He is stalemated. at about the 18-yard line, got close to a first down. He's a yard short. It's going to be third and one. The interior of this Piqua defense has got its hands full so far with Sidney's offensive line, which has been very good. Dylan Vanderpool, Jesse Brandeberry, Zach Smothers, Cooper Collinsworth, they've been stout. Here's Dunham, quarterback draw, back at the 19. He keeps it. He squirts up the middle, scrambles to the 10, inside it to the 9. He's got a first down with at least 4 yards to spare.
Well, yeah, you saw that coming a mile away, empty backfield. You knew the quarterback draw was coming, and it was just so well blocked that he still got the first down.
Lance Reeves, defensive tackle, grabbed a hold of Dunham. Goal to go, Sidney. 9-yard line at Piqua. We played 3.5 minutes. Here's a deep handoff way back behind the line of scrimmage. It's dealt by Dunham to Harris, and he snowed under a setback of at least a couple. Very good stop on the play by Lance Reeves of Piqua. He diagnosed it. That penetration, the defensive tackle for Piqua was all over it. Goal to go for Sidney now from the 12. No score in this game. What a march, though, by Sidney. Here's a flare pass in the left flat. It is caught on the play by Brown. Piqua snuffs it out. An immediate hit by the Indians. Good hit by Owen Toops in the flat. Open space. Brown was decked at the 10. Goal to go from that spot on the field for Sidney.
Yeah, third and 10.
Two forward passes, you would think.
Yeah, it's some kind of a screen, some kind of a draw maybe.
Four receivers are flanked. Harris in the backfield with Dunham. Dunham fakes a throw to the right, keeps, ducks under a Piqua tackler, but then he's caught from behind at the 9. Dunham nearly eluded the second man, almost scrambled his way down to about the 5. Fourth and goal, Sidney at the Piqua 9.
I'll tell you what, if Kuhn doesn't make that play right there, it's a touchdown.
Yes. And Dunham gets mighty close to the end zone for sure. And here is a field goal try by Caleb Harris, about whom we spoke in the pregame, Chuck, as a young man who might kick for Hallie, who's out with an injured leg. Hallie Truesdale not kicking tonight. Caleb Harris, the jack of all trades for Sidney, will try from the 17. It's a 27-yard kick, and he overcooked it.
Yep.
He yanked it to the left.
That was a nice drive for not getting any points out of it.
Yep. Too bad for Sidney. Piqua gets a stop. Indians will take over on their own 20. 6:46 left to go in the opening quarter. Sidney nothing, Piqua nothing.
And I'm thinking that was a makeable kick for Truesdale for sure. So That's where an injury kind of hurts you. You know, you don't think about your kicker until they're not there.
Harris's boot had the distance. It was just offline as he jerked it to the left, and it was not really very close. But the Sidney Yellow Jackets gave Piqua a big dose of the home team offense in that first series. It was a fast break attack, and Piqua couldn't slow it down until the final few plays. Here's Micah Karn running the show for Piqua at quarterback, and we got a pre-snap foul against the Indians.
As big as the line is for Piqua, they when they move early, they can't hide.
5 of the 6 up front for Piqua are seniors. The only junior is Riley Hill, 6'3", 317. He's an 11th grader, an offensive guard. One tackle, Caden Clark, 6'2", 304, a senior. The other tackle, Caden Maxwell, 6'1", 267, a senior. The other offensive guard opposite Hill is Zane Arbogast, 6'1", 234, a senior. The center, Jacob Strayer, 6'1", 241, a senior. Brendan Toops, the tight end, a six-footer, 209-pound senior. And while we're running down the offensive line for Piqua, Chuck, another pre-snap penalty.
Yep, they moved again, and you got yourself – you're already at your own 20. Now you're at the 10. Now it limits your play calling more than it did. Just those 10 yards makes a difference.
Indians have 20 yards to go now on first down. As Chuck noted, line of scrimmage, the Piqua 10-yard line. Micah Karn takes the deep snap in the spread. I think he held onto the football. Don't believe he fed it to a running back. And Karn angled to the 12 or 13, a short advance.
Yeah, he kept it himself.
We'll see a bevy of backs for Pickwith throughout this game. Karan Coleman, 5'10", 176, a sophomore. Matt Blankenship, 5'11", 204, a junior. Jarrell Lewis will run the ball. Keegan Kuhn will be a ball carrier as well in this game tonight. And those four young men also duplicate on defense. They play a lot of linebackers.
Yep.
Here is Karn rolling right. He's way back inside his five. Arches a pass near sideline, and a diving reception is
nice
made
catch.
At the 38. Wow, what a throw by Karn on the dead run, and that's a nifty reception on the play by Owen Toops of Piqua. Looked like Andy Dalton on the rollout that worked so beautifully against Carolina a few times. Karn was back inside his five, and I don't know that you could throw a ball any more perfectly, Chuck.
No, he threw it well, and Toops did a great job of going down. He laid him, so he didn't try to catch it with his hands. He went to the ground and made the catch and got the first down. That was a big first down.
And that play went for 26 yards. Here is Pickwell running on first and 10 from the Indians 37. And it's a good herky-jerky move by the quarterback, Karn. He started to go wide left and then cut it back. And he pushed the football out to the 44. He dashed for 7 on the opening play to make it 2nd and 3.
Well, we got the 3 Toops cousins out there, and I coached all 3 of the dads, either in basketball or baseball. They all played something for me during their high school years.
Yep, the Toops cousins' dads, I should say, were all fine athletes at Pickwell High School. Man in motion almost going forward at the time of the snap, and he winds up catching the throw from Karns. There's no penalty marker. The play is good for 4. It's Owen Toops who reached up and speared it. The play goes to the 48, 1st and 10, Pickwell.
And you're right. They ran him in motion twice, and it looks like he's starting to angle towards the line of scrimmage before the ball snapped. They need to be careful on that one.
And you can bet Sydney will make the officials aware of just that. Pickwell, the line of scrimmage, a receiver left, a receiver right, ball 3 yards short of midfield. We've played better than 7 minutes here in the opening quarter, or I should say, yes, we have played better than 7, nearly 8. We're down to 4:16 to go in the opening stanza. Each team with a drive. Pickwell now with a 2nd and 10 coming up as the first down play here was stalled right at the line of scrimmage.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was Braden Dean, and he did a good job. He just plugged the hole, went to the ground, and made the running back fall over top of him.
This could be a passing play here. Indians feature a receiver left, a receiver right. In motion across the formation comes a flanker back. Karn elects to keep. He's in the offensive backfield. Excellent penetration by Sydney, which throws Karn down right at the point of attack. The 48, there is no gain.
The receiver on this side for Pickwell ran right past the block to pick somebody up farther down the field and allowed the Sydney player to make the play. Picked the wrong person to block.
3rd and 10 Indians at the Pickwell 48, 3:17 to go opening quarter, no score. Each team's had the ball once. Concerted drives by both offenses. Possession down here for Pickwell, which has duo receivers to the left, a single wide out to the right. Karn, 6 yards behind the line, rolls left. Looks for an out pattern receiver who juggles. It might have been tipped by Sydney. Incomplete at the 32-yard line, intended for Owen Toops. He was there. Sydney flashed a couple black shirts in front of him, and the ball was not hauled in successfully. Would have been about a 20-yard gain on the first down.
Well, Taborn, at first I thought the pass was intercepted, and somehow it got through his hands, and then Toops almost made a heck of a catch.
You think Darren Taborn got a little bitty piece of it, Chuck?
I think that he went right through his arms. I think he was seeing the other end zone on that one.
Under 3 minutes to play opening quarter. Karn back in punt formation at his 37 for Pickwa. Good snap. high floating boot, lights on the ground at the Sydney 18, and hops laterally at about that spot. Might have inched forward to the 19, and that's where Sydney starts. First down, 10 yards to go. Each team's had the ball once, Chuck. What have you seen you've liked? There's a lot to appreciate so far.
Well, I think that we've seen what we thought we were going to see. Sydney on their drive use their speed and their quickness and then bogged down inside the 20. And Piqua ran the, got a couple of the penalties, but still hit a nice pass, but ran the ball with the quarterback and moved it out enough to switch the field back the other way. So,
yeah. And the 26-yard pass completion by Piqua from Karn to Toops did enable Piqua to move the football out to near midfield. And as Chuck noted, flop field position, Sydney running Harris on first and 10 from inside the 20. And the play goes for a minus one.
Well, that pass made it so they weren't, Sydney didn't have the ball about the 50. They got the ball inside their 20.
Yep. Second down, 11 for Sydney. Dunham in the spread, back at the 13. Now he's back at the 5, being pursued. He's bear-hugged and decked at the 3 or 4. Wow, that's one heck of a quarterback sack by Piqua, and it was one of the Toops who got in there. Up forward progress at the 6 for Sydney, which is in a king-sized hole. The first down marker is at the 29, so it's third and 23 for Sydney. With a minute 48 to go in the first quarter, no score. It has been a very quickly played opening period. Dunham in the spread at the goal line. He's 5 yards behind the goal line, and his pass is tipped at the 12, almost intercepted. And Sydney now, with its collective backs to the wall, must punt from deep in the end zone.
Yeah, that sack really put a hurt on them. Now they're going to be punting from probably about 2 yards deep.
Yellow Jackets, 8 yards deep in the end zone, will boot it away. And it's a high snap, left-footed punt, a pretty good one up the near sideline. Does Piqua Fair catch it? No. It's caught at the 38, and an immediate belt by Sydney right there.
Well, that was a gutsy play by Toops because he was surrounded when he caught that, but he did not call for a fair catch.
Well, as a result of strong defensive play from Piqua, the Indians' offense now starts at the Sydney 38 with a minute 29 left to go here in the opening stanza. First and 10 Indians. Micah Karn was featured as a ball carrier often in that opening possession. Let's see what happens here. He's got a receiver right, a receiver left.
And now they're going to go under center.
Noah Houts, the young man for Sydney who punted the football, got some air under it. But against the wind, didn't get a lot of distance. Piqua with a power jet sweep to the left on first and 10. And it's a good run from scrimmage by Matt Blankenship. Blankenship powers down inside the 35 to the Sydney 33. He drove for 5 big yards.
This might be the fastest quarter we've seen all year.
We're down to 1 minute to go in the opening period. Line of scrimmage, the Sydney 33. Handoff, left tackle, and Piqua breaks it. There's a hole for the ball carrier who sprints inside the Sydney 25 to the 23. It's Karan Coleman, the sophomore. A nice dash by him. Piqua's offensive line getting it done in the last two running plays.
Well, they've gone to under center now, and they're using their strength, and that is their running backs and that big offensive line.
And now the quarterback, Karn, is not under center. He's in the spread, 5 yards behind the line. I like offenses, Chuck, who do mix it up. Karn sprints left. It's a reverse in the offensive backfield. Handoff 7 yards behind the line by Karn to the ball carrier, who spilled for a loss on the play of at least 3.
Well, I'm not sure that's a good call against the quickness of this Sydney defense. You're not gonna beat them on the outside.
Trenton Foster tried to turn the corner. Sydney stayed at home and was waiting on Foster as the final seconds tick off the clock. End of the opening period here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Sydney nothing, Piqua nothing on scorersbroadcast.com.
American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field-level windows that they installed down on the playing surface so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge, and that's been a really big sell in recruiting, and it looks nice, and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass, AAGIncOH.com.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. I'm Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee. We get set to start the second quarter here at Sydney. Yellow Jackets nothing, Indians nothing. Pick was got the ball, second down, 13 yards to go for a first down at the Sydney 28. Micah Karn at quarterback. He's under center. Receivers left and right. Handoff, right tackle, a lot of running space for the ball carrier, who spurts beyond the linebackers inside the Sydney 20 to about the 18-yard line.
Got a flag, probably a hold from where it was thrown and at the time it was thrown.
Good effort by Karan Coleman as he carved out about 8 on the play, but it is negated.
Well, the officials hadn't done anything yet, so they had needed to throw a flag.
And the stripes are in the act for sure now. Penalty against Piqua. And it's significant. Sets the ball back at the 35. Indians are confronted with second and 21 now. Opening second quarter. Piqua can get a first down just inside the 15 of Sydney. Deep drop, McCarr, and he's going to run. He takes off. He's got some room. Slants to the right. He hurdles a Sydney tackler at the 28. He
wow.
is upended at the 25. That's an athlete for you right there.
That was pretty impressive.
10-yard advance by Karn. Don't know if that was a run all the way. Might have been, but he had open space out to the right, and he went that direction beyond the hash mark toward the Piqua bench. We may have another penalty.
Well, I think there's a rule for jumping over someone. I don't think you're allowed to jump over a defender in high school, which is a ridiculous rule, but it is a rule.
Interesting.
Hurdling.
And as I described the play, it was a hurdle by Karn over the would-be tackler from Sydney, and as the official just explained, hurdling by Karn. And that is a major penalty.
Well, you figure they've been watching the NFL and where you have to tackle the quarterback and put a pillow under him before it's not a personal foul.
Boy, that's a difficult pill to swallow right there.
That was a heck of a run, and I'm not sure I understand. If he hurdles, if you jump a guy and your foot hits him, okay, call. He was a foot over top of him.
I'd agree, Chuck. That's a good point. Snap back to Karn on second and 30. Rolling left. Lofton down inside the 20. No one home. A Sydney player nearly picks it off at the 9. Good coverage by the Yellow Jackets. Darren Taborn. As pick was Karn, went for broke on
right.
that one.
Well, Taborn is lucky he didn't stretch out and grab that because they would have been down on the 10-yard line.
That would have been a heck of a punt.
Yeah, that would have been better than a punt.
45 seconds gone here in the second quarter. No score. Piqua facing a third and 30 at the Sydney 44-yard line. Reflecting back on the penalty, Chuck, that was a strange one. First time I'd been aware of it. I agree with you 100%. If you hurdle someone and you land in the middle of a blocker's back who's on the ground, yes, I could see where that might be worthy of a foul. But Karn, draw play. Coleman, outside right tackle, snuffed out at the 42. It picked up a minimum of a couple, that's it. So now Sydney's got an opportunity to receive a punt back inside the 10. Right now the Yellow Jackets have nobody retreating. And now finally it is Taborn at the 10. Karn will punt from his 46. The wind is a little bit in Karn's face. It's out of the northwest. A couple hours before game time, it was more directly out of the west. Yeah. The kick by Karn is a sidewinder off the right edge of his toe. It's in the air, out of bounds, in the area of the 20. Where will the referee mark it?
It's going to be right around the 22.
And it winds up being, what, about a plus 18 for Piqua?
Yeah, it went right off the side of his foot.
Ball marked for play way up at the 25. Sydney gets a reprieve here. First and 10 Yellow Jackets at their own 25. That line of scrimmage, Chuck, was what, the 43 or so? Wound up being a punt of less than 20, about 17 or 18 yards, that's all.
Yeah, it was not a good punt.
Here is Dunham in the pocket for Sydney. He throws an angle pass in the right flat to the receiver, who catches white shirts all around him, though. Good job by Piqua to corral Rotez Roberts. Well, that right there is the hallmark play of Sydney's offense. What do you call it, Chuck? A quick bubble screen in the flat?
Yeah, and they faked left and then threw it to the right. They called offensive pass interference. Somebody must have been blocking while the ball was in the air.
Indeed.
But again, I thought that if the ball was behind the line of scrimmage, that you couldn't have offensive pass interference. But I know a lot more about basketball than I do football.
Was Rotez Roberts even with the line of scrimmage? Don't think he was.
No, I think he stepped back. So I don't know. Hey, well, I'm confused, but they throw the flags and we sit here and try to explain it.
We've learned a lot about officiating tonight. 2 minutes gone, second quarter. First and 22 now for Sydney. Inside the Yellow Jackets 15. Last two possessions for Sydney have been deep in their own end of the field. Here's Dunham, handoff, Harris. Harris breaks a tackle at the 15, almost shook loose, caught by the shoestring at the 20-yard line.
That would have been a first down if they hadn't got him there.
Exactly.
Got a few scores around the area. Lehman leads Hardin Northern 7-0.
Second down for Sydney. I may have erred and said the previous play was second down. It was first. Here's a screen. It's caught at the 12. Harris catches, gets a block, shoots up over the 20, knocked down at the 25. Yellow Jackets, not trying to get everything back at once, face a third and 10 now at their own 25-yard line in what has been a very fast-moving, low-scoring first half. It's nothing, nothing. Sydney Piqua, 3 minutes gone, second quarter. Dunham at his 20 has a lone back, Harris alongside. It's an out pattern. Oh, look at that catch. NFL style. Yes, at the 36-yard line. It is Keith Lee, or is that Rotez Roberts?
That was Roberts.
It was 8 Roberts, not 9 Lee. That ball was thrown up over his head where nobody could get it but him. Fine throw by Dunham. First and 10, Sydney at the Yellow Jackets 37. Here's a quick hitter. Harris Burroughs stays on his feet, digs to the 45. He's got 7, maybe 8. Well, we've seen Sydney's passing game under junior Ryan Dunham come along, Chuck, since game 2 against Bell Fountain. Two receivers to the short side. Handoff, Dunham, Harris, nailed, line of scrimmage, 3rd and 1 coming up. 46-yard line for Sydney, 3rd and about 2 feet to go. The interior of that Piqua defense giving up ground grudgingly on that play. Reeves and Grant Toops on the hit. Here's Harris again. He slowed behind the line. Good penetration by Piqua. Down he goes at the 44. He lost 2 more, and Sydney will have to punt. 4th and 3 coming up.
That's Lance Reeves. He's a sophomore. Boy, he's a big kid.
Piqua's defense slowly but surely beginning to adjust against the Caleb Harris run game. Let's see what Piqua elects to do. 7:38 to go, second quarter, no score. Fourth and three, Sydney from the Yellow Jackets 44. And Sydney lining up as if the Yellow Jackets will run a play from scrimmage. Fourth and three. Dunham retreats two extra yards, and he may pooch kick it. He does. It's blocked. It's picked up by Pickwood, the 37, and run down to the 10, the 5, the 3-yard line. What a play by Pickwood. And I think, Chuck, it was Grant Toops, 89, on the swat of the punt by Dunham. He covered it up, and away he went.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you get cute, you outthink yourself, and I don't know why you don't just drop back and punt the football there. You got the ball at midfield. You're going to put them inside, down at least by the 20. I don't get it.
Well, Sydney was trying to think, or trying to make Pickwood think, he was going to run a play from scrimmage.
But he backed up two more yards. See,
yep.
So if you back up like that, people see that. They knew what was coming, and Toops just, you know, he was in there faster than the ball got back to the quarterback.
And given the fact it was fourth down, there's always a chance you're not going to run or pass the football. There's always a good chance you might try to punt it into open space down the field if Pickwood doesn't send a return man or two back. But give all the credit in the world to Grant Toops. That was as good a defensive play as we've seen by a lineman all year here on scoresbroadcast.com.
He got one hand up, knocked it down, scooped it, and took it all the way down to the three. And you got to give Harris some credit because he was the one back there in the Wildcat. He was going to kick it, and he ran him down, and they put him back 2 yards on first down, so you don't know if that was a touchdown-saving tackle or not.
Right, Pickwell with a 2-yard loss and first and goal from the three. Here's Karn. Karn takes the snap, looks for an opening. There's no hole there. He makes the most out of very little and squirms back to near the original line of scrimmage. The 3.5, maybe the 4, goal to go Pickwell. We played half the second quarter, still no score. Indians, thanks to the block punt and run by Grant Toops, knocking on the door of the Sydney end zone. Ball nearly in the middle of the field. Third and goal from the 4. Let's see what Pickwood tries here. Wide receiver split left, single coverage there for the quarterback, Karn. Karn's going to run all the way. He blasts between tackle and guard. His big offensive line paves the way, and Karn's got a touchdown from 4 yards out.
Well, Sydney made him work for that.
Yep.
They had first and goal at the 3. It made him score on third down.
A power run by the quarterback, Micah Karn. It's not often, Chuck, you say a power run by the QB, but Micah Karn behind that sturdy offensive line of Pickwood did just that. He took the snap from center in the spread, and he charged the line of scrimmage. He was not going to be denied. A little bit of a hole developed, and he strode right through that crevice into the end zone. Extra point try now by Karn as he tries to tack on the 7th point for Pickwa, and the extra point is on its way, and it is good. 7 points by Karn, 7 for Pickwa, of course. Indians in the lead, 7-0, halfway through the second quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
So many thanks here on scoresbroadcast.com to one of our fine sponsors, Barker Insurance, serving the Upper Miami Valley since 1972. Barker has earned a reputation second to none. It's the number one most valued agency in the region for many years now. Located at 9040 North County Road 25A on the north edge of Sydney, Barker Insurance will customize an auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance program for you, representing firms like Erie, Buckeye, Ohio Mutual, and others. You're covered with a plan tailored perfectly to your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, 937-492-1857, 492-1857, Barker Insurance, just north of Anna, south of Sydney, on Route 25A. Here's a splendid kickoff return by Sydney, racehorse style, all the way out to the 43 or 44-yard line goes Josiah Hudgens.
He had a hole there, and I'll tell you what, if he would have got past that last tackler, he was gone.
A 30-yard return by Hudgens, allowing Sydney and quarterback Ryan Dunham to set up shop nicely. 5 yards shy of midfield, 5:42 to go second quarter. Its pick was 7, Sydney nothing. The offenses have moved the football, but Pickwa's defense set up the lone score in this game. Deep drop by Dunham, and he elects to run it. He gets back near the line of scrimmage, and he is shouldered to the turf at the 47-yard line. He picked up a couple. Blankenship wrapped him up for Pickwa. Chuck gave a Layman Catholic Hardin Northern score earlier. Fort Loramie's playing Twin Valley South.
They're up 14-0 in the second quarter.
Okay, Redskins over Twin Valley.
And Troy leads Tip in the GWAC North 14-0.
Versailles is playing Anna. That a 7:30 start.
Yep, that one just started.
Snap back to Dunham, 2nd and 8. Throws middle of the field. A deep post pattern. Caught on the dead run. On the loose is Taron Taborn. He's at the 20. No one will catch him. Taborn to the house. Wow, what a post pattern by Taborn. And a terrific throw by the quarterback Dunham. Right on the spot. On the mark. Hit him in stride beautifully. Taborn's fingertips had glue on him. He secured the football. And in stride, he snared it. He was off to the races.
Now that was a broken coverage right there, and they did a nice job of exploiting it.
As Taborn ran the post, splitting the safeties in the Pickwa secondary. Here's the PAT try, but Caleb Harris did not this game. Good snap. Dunham spots it down. Kick is no good. Caleb Harris swirled that one to the left. And as Chuck noted earlier, Sydney missing Hallie Truesdale, the young lady who's been an outstanding kicker during her career for the Sydney Yellow Jackets. And Sydney, without her tonight because of a leg injury, has missed a field goal, now an extra point. Pickwa hangs on to the lead, 7-6, 4:56 to go till halftime on scoresbroadcast.com.
U.S. Bank offers easy person-to-person payments with Zelle. Person-to-person, like the sometimes fan to the super fan for that last-minute ticket to the game. Or the tailgate guest to the tailgate griller for the pregame grub. Pay whoever for whatever, whenever, with Zelle. It's free in the U.S. Bank mobile app. U.S. Bank, the power of possible. Available to United States Bank account holders only. Terms and conditions apply. The Zelle Network is property of Early Warning Services, LLC, U.S. Bank member FDIC.
U.S. Bank offers you 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District.
This is Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee on scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. Sydney Yellow Jackets tallying 6. On a beautiful pass play, Chuck, one you often see on Sunday afternoon.
He ran right down the hash marks, and there was a broken coverage, perfect pass. Hit him right in stride. Anybody was going to catch Hudgens.
Well, Ryan Dunham has really improved. He was always a pretty good quarterback for Sydney, but his throwing has been spot on. He's getting better and better. Pickwa kickoff return to the 24. That's where it stacked up, 1st and 10 Indians. 7-6 game, Pick win the lead. And like last year, Chuck, extra points were missed. One blown already in this game. Last year, Sydney beat Pickwa 34-33 in a thriller at Pickwa. Each team missed a few points after. In fact, Pickwa was denied a 2-point conversion to win the game at the end of the game. Karn with a successful PAT tonight for Pickwa. Harris missed his. That's the difference in the game. Running play, Pickwa. Helmet comes off. It's an effort over the 30 to the 32. Boy, Karn bulldozed his way. The quarterback was not going to be stopped easily. In fact, it was his headgear which flew off.
I think that was supposed to be a handoff. Somehow they got it botched up back there, so he just took off through where the hole was, did a nice job, ran hard.
Improvising nicely was Micah Karn, who is, I think, on the sideline for this play, Chuck.
I think he had to come out one play because the helmet came off.
Yep, second and three. Handoff, offensive backfield between right tackle and guard. The surge is good for four. It's Kuhn who rambled, and it's first and 10 Piqua at the Indians 36. As I mentioned, Matt Blankenship, Jarrell Lewis, Karan Coleman, and Keegan Kuhn make up the assembly of ball carriers for Piqua behind quarterback Micah Karn, who has returned on first and 10 from the Indians 36. No, it's not Karn. The QB hands off, and that's a good running play for Piqua again. Sydney's all over the ball carrier, a yard or two downfield, but it's Coleman who keeps his balance, keeps trudging, and he struggled for four. 40-yard line at Piqua, second and six Sydney, 3:51 to go second quarter, a briskly played first half, 7-6 Piqua in the lead.
I'm trying to find Karn on the sideline over there. I don't know if they're just working on his helmet.
Again, handoff, right tackle. Sydney plugs up the hole, and here comes a late flag.
It's going to be a face mask on Piqua.
Line of scrimmage would be the 42 and would set up a third and four for Piqua. But the Indians will retreat. Penalty coming up. Don't think you have any choice if you're Sydney head coach Adam Dungis. Third and four.
No, you're going to take the 15 yards.
You're going to take the penalty.
That's 50 yards in penalties on Piqua here in the first half so far.
The foul occurred during the play, right? So Piqua,
correct.
Piqua gets the down over again.
Yep.
So instead of third and four, it's second down and better than 20. Right at 20. New line of scrimmage for Piqua back at the 27. Indians can get a first down up near the 47. We're all the way down to just over 3 minutes to go in this first half. Piqua 7, Sydney 6. Two receivers left. Timeout called on the field. And we will take a time in for a couple of our sponsors. 3:15 left, second quarter. 7-6 Piqua over Sydney on scoresbroadcast.com.
Goffney Furniture in Sydney is impressive. Find out for yourself. Go to Goffney, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney. For your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service free of charge. Extremely high quality furniture, priced just right at Goffney. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
So many thanks to our fine underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com, including the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282, 498-7282. And shout-outs to the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum in Rushi. The Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum. Third and 19, Piqua runs. Karn's got open space. Breaks a tackle. He's beyond the linebackers. Safeties are tracking him down near the 50. Karn on the far sideline. Near the Piqua bench. Where did he go out of bounds? The 45-yard line of Sydney. My goodness gracious, what a run. It went for nearly 30.
Well, they evidently called that a dead ball personal foul on Piqua. That's why it was third down instead of second down. But Karn took care of it by himself.
Micah Karn with a good game rushing the football. Chuck will check out the unofficial totals for Micah in a moment. Running play, Piqua. And it's good for about a 16-yard explosion. Got a motion call, though, coming up against the Indians.
That's my guess. They've been doing it. They've been right on the brink every time they put somebody in motion. And this time I think they caught him stepping upfield.
You're right.
They're just shooting themselves in the foot with penalties.
Micah Karn running the football, Chuck. He's got to have, 50, 60 yards already?
Well, I mean, maybe they've only got about 50 yards in rushing offense in the first half. 35, 43, 49, 90, 80. Yeah, that'd be pretty close. He's got most of them.
Yep, the new line of scrimmage for Pickle is the 50. The first down run was eliminated. First and 15, Pickle. Here is Karn, late handoff, ball carrier, stays on his feet, won't go down. Offensive line powers. Ball carrier pushes to the 44 of Sydney. It gains six.
This is a big defensive series for the Yellow Jackets because if they allow Pickwa to go score and then Pickwa gets the ball to start the third quarter, you know, that's a double whammy on them.
2:16 left, second period. Pickwa 7, Sydney 6. Second down and 9, Pickwa at the Sydney 44-yard line. It is Karn in the spread back at the 50. He fakes the handoff and rolls left. Has a wide open receiver at the 31,
oh,
and he missed him. Oh, my goodness. Pickwa with outstanding sleight of hand action in the offensive backfield. A fake feed to the ball carrier Blankenship. Everybody thought the ball was dealt. Karn kept it, and he had a wide open tight end. Might have been Brennan Toops. About 10 yards downfield, roaming.
Nobody close to him.
Plenty of real estate ahead. It might have gone for a touchdown.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna say, I can't tell you whether it was the pass or the catch.
Third and 9, Pickwa, the Sydney 44, a minute 50 left, second quarter. Here's Karn faking, rolling left, looking behind the line. He heaves a bomb, one-on-one, down at the goal line. Great defensive play by Sydney's Josiah Hudgens. Wow, what a maneuver by Hudgens as he went up on the jump ball with the wide receiver and managed to splice that ball to the turf. What a heave on the dead run by the quarterback Karn of Pickwa. Well, Karn's got a strong arm. Dunham's got a strong arm. We've got two very fast developing quarterbacks who have gotten better and better since the opening week of the season. They've been on display tonight. Karn now to punt as Pickwa confronts a 4th and 9 from the 44 of Sydney. And the kick by Karn bounds down inside the 10 and scoots into the end zone. 1st and 10, Sydney from the Yellow Jackets, 20. A minute 43 to go in the first quarter, or I should say first half. It's 7-6 Pickwa. Low scoring, Chuck, but it has been entertaining so far.
It actually has been. I mean, each team's made enough mistakes to make it a 7-6 game, but both defenses have kind of stepped up when they've had to.
But as you've highlighted, the penalty flags against the Indians have cost Pickwa dearly.
Oh, yeah, it could be a 2-touchdown lead.
Yeah, I don't know how many plus yardage plays from scrimmage have been wiped out by penalty. I bet Pickwa's lost 60 yards in gains.
Right.
Either through the air or on the ground because of penalty markers. Second down and 3 now for Sydney after a 7-yard run on first down. Here's Dunham, right flat. Catch made, Rotez Roberts at the line of scrimmage, and he high steps his way out of bounds to the 31. He got 4. 1st and 10, Sydney. At the Yellow Jackets, 30 is where it's marked. The play went for only 3. A minute 12 to go in the first half. Sydney with a 1st and 10. Yellow Jackets 30-yard line. 1-point lead for Pickwa. 2 wide outs to the left. 3 to the right, empty backfield. Dunham back at his 21 to throw. Looks middle of the gridiron. He's going to run, being chased. Good pressure by Pickwa, but the pass is thrown late by Dunham and caught in the left flat. Completion good for 15. Fine effort by Dunham, who maintained enough balance while being jarred by Reeves to deliver the ball down the field for a 15-yard gainer. Sydney with 3 timeouts remaining. The ball 5 yards short of the 50 from the 45. Sydney with a 1st and 10. Head coach Adam Dungis of the Yellow Jackets is on the field by several yards for Sidney, questioning something, I think, about
the clock.
The clock may have moved ahead a little bit too fast when play should have been stopped because of the first down being earned.
Well, he stepped out of bounds, too, so it should never have started
right
until the ball was snapped.
62 seconds to go here in the first half. Sidney at its 45. First and 10 to go. Four receivers flanked. Inside handoff to Caleb Harris, and he burrows for four. Second and 6, Sidney. Yellow Jackets, 3 timeouts left. Clock running. 48 seconds to go. Sidney's got to be in the hurry up. 3 receivers to the right. Dunham with a deep drop. Rolls out of the pocket. Way back at his 35. And he airborne's that one out of bounds into the first row of the stands. Chuck, am I reading the scoreboard right? Sidney's got 3 timeouts left.
Yeah.
With 2.
Yeah, I'm not real sure why they didn't call one there instead of running that quick play.
35 seconds to go here in the first half. Sidney with a 3rd and 6. Line of scrimmage, Yellow Jackets 49. Ball moved to the far hash, which is where Sidney will line it up. Couple of receivers left, couple receivers right for Dunham. He's got Harris alongside. Yellow Jackets scored on a better than 50-yard post pattern in the second quarter. Here's a flat pass. Hudgens reaches up to spear it, but defenders are gathered all around him. The play goes for a gain of a yard or two to the pick with 49. We're down to 17 seconds to go.
Well, that's fourth down.
Bam. First half, 4th and 5, Sidney. Pick with 49. Yellow Jackets may elect to simply run out the clock. And that's what they're going to do. And the first half terminates. No, it doesn't. Clock stopped by Sidney with a timeout. 2.8 remaining. 7-6 Piqua. Yellow Jackets preparing for some razzle-dazzle, trying to advance the football half the length of the field in the last 2.8 seconds.
Well, it's a surprising score up there. Fairmont leads Miamisburg 13-7 in the second quarter.
Anna 7, Versailles nothing. That was an early game score we had for Booster Field.
Troy leads Tip 21-14 in the second quarter.
And Lehman in the first half was ahead of Hardin Northern.
And is now up 14-0 on Versailles in the second in the first quarter. Jeff Ray back down into Hurricane Land, giving me some scores today too. Glad everything was okay for you down there, Jeff.
If that storm hit the North Carolina-South Carolina border right on target.
And they're still flooding. And it's basically inland worse than the coast at this point.
Yeah, a lot of waterways flowing from north to south, from North Carolina down into the state of South Carolina before eventually exiting into the ocean. 2.8 to go first half. 7-6 Piqua. Sidney in the spread. Fourth down, 4 yards to go, final play, second quarter, barring a penalty. Dunham floating a high-arching bomb down around the 10-yard line. Piqua nearly intercepts. It's deflected, falls to the ground harmlessly, and that's it. First half in the books here at Sidney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Piqua leads Sidney by a point, 7-6 here on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sidney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
Honey, why does the doorbell ring when I turn on the kitchen lights?
I rewired that. It should work now.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Don't rely on short-term fixes that need long-term solutions. A U.S. Bank home equity line of credit may help turn the equity in your home into lasting improvements. Visit a U.S. Bank branch, usbank.com/dreambig, or call 800-209-BANK.
Home sweet normal home.
Some restrictions may apply. Subject to credit approval, mortgage and home equity products offered through U.S. Bank, National Association, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center markets in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
Holloway Sportswear in Sydney features the full game plan of athletic apparel, bags, fan gear, warm-ups, outerwear, and much more. Deep color offerings, unbeatable quality, and the latest trends in high-performance fabrics. Holloway gets fans, coaches, and athletes to the bonus line with extras that help fashion their games. Check your local sporting goods store and rule the sideline with Holloway Sportswear. Download catalogs and view product videos at hollowayusa.com.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. I'm Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Our halftime score, pick was 7, Sydney 6, a 7-6 lead here at the half in favor of Piqua over Sydney. A missed field goal by Sydney, a missed extra point by Sydney, which is without its number one place kicker here tonight. Yellow Jackets are missing the young lady, Hallie Truesdale, who's done a splendid job in her career, out with a leg injury. And the Sydney Yellow Jackets have misfired on a makeable short-range field goal and have also blown an extra point. Pick was Micah Karn, ran in a touchdown after a blocked punt and run by Grant Toops of Piqua, got the ball down inside the 5. Karn ran it in, kicked the point, and Sydney's touchdown. Chuck, what a beautiful pass play it was.
Yeah, it was a 53-yarder, and I'll tell you what, he hit Hudgens right in stride, and you're not going to catch that kid if you're even with him, yet alone a couple of yards behind him.
Wilson Health Sports Medicine brings you our halftime report. 1-point lead for Piqua. Chuck, let's check out the numbers here at intermission.
Well, rushing, Piqua ran the ball 17 times for 85 yards, Sydney 18 times for 45 yards, 10 of 14 for 124 yards, throwing the ball 169 total for the Yellow Jackets. Indians 2 of 6, 31 yards, 116 total yards. First down, Sydney has a 7-5 advantage. The penalties, one penalty for 10 yards for the Yellow Jackets. Piqua had 6 penalties for 55 yards. Turnovers, block punt led to Piqua's only score, seven points, and Piqua did not turn the ball over in the first half. Penalties for Piqua, block punt for Sydney. There's the difference in what's going on.
And two missed place kicks by Sydney as well. You can pinpoint the significant opportunities in this game that have been missed by each team. Piqua could have another 60-plus yards of total offense,
right,
had it eradicated the penalties, which have haunted Piqua so far.
Well, Harris ran the ball 14 times for 46 yards, as long as it's 13, averaging 3.3. They're doing a pretty nice job of bottling that kid up.
Yep.
Karn ran the ball 7 times for 49 yards. That's 7 yards a carry. His long was 28. So what we're looking at right now is that even football game that we kind of thought, the possession is almost exactly the same. 12 minutes, 12 seconds for the Yellow Jackets, 11 minutes and 48 seconds for Piqua in time of possession.
My goodness. That's our halftime report brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine. A balanced game here tonight. Not much difference between these two clubs. Even Steven, as the scoreboard indicates. Piqua 7, Sydney 6. Our halftime report brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine on ScoresBroadcast.com.
Here's another Wilson Health Sports Medicine success story. Sydney High School guard Ashley Egan recovered to top form after tearing her ACL in January 2014.
It was Ashley's birthday, in fact, and the Sydney girls were playing Houston. And Ashley injured her knee cutting to the basket. She just crumbled to the floor.
But Ashley's mother, Kathy, said Wilson Health athletic trainer Beth Danklifson was courtside and came to the rescue.
She was so helpful, so caring, and encouraging. Wilson Health Sports Medicine gave us peace of mind. We knew we were in good hands.
In 2 weeks, Dr. Matthew Heckler, Wilson Health Sports Medicine orthopedic surgeon, performed successful surgery.
Therapy began several days later, and Ashley enjoyed both soccer and basketball her junior and senior years.
And Ashley's Yellow Jackets hoops team won 24 straight games. For information about Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, go to wilsonhealth.org and click on services.
We are so thankful for Wilson Health Sports Medicine.
Keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. I'm Jack with Chuck, Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee, Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field, homecoming night at Sydney. Emma Wyford was announced queen before the start of tonight's game, and Colin Freisteller king. Emma Wyford, queen, Colin Freisteller king here at Sydney High School. The announcement's made before the opening kickoff back at about 6:55 or so. And congratulations to those two students at Sydney High School and the entire Queen and King Court at Sydney. We're going to take this opportunity here at the half of our game, which has Piqua leading over Sydney by a score of 7-6, to bring you up to date on recent progress of the Fort Loramie Redskins and Layman Catholic Cavaliers. The Anna Rockets are 3-2 and in the playoff pursuit as well. Last score we had, Anna led Versailles 14-0 in the second quarter at Booster Field at Anna High School tonight. Anna playing in Division 5, Region 18 this year, the Northwest region, not the Southwest. Anna 6th in the computer rankings, with a 3-2 mark in that region. Meanwhile, Fort Loramie and Layman Catholic both play in Ohio Division 7, Region 28. The Fort Loramie Redskins number one in the region this week by virtue of the 4-1 record. Minster second, 4-1. Convoy Crestview third, 4-1. Layman Catholic Cavaliers are ninth with a mark of 3-2. And Fort Loramie's at Twin Valley South tonight. Redskins have played really well, winning four in a row. And, in fact, in the last 3 weeks, Fort Loramie's defense has given up a grand total of three touchdowns. I had a conversation with Redskin head coach Spencer Wells earlier this week.
Yeah, and that's really credit to our coaching staff. You know, we've talked before. Brad Frilling is our defense coordinator, his first year doing it. And him and his assistants have got those guys bought in, and they're playing fast. And you know, one of the things that you hear him stressing all the time on that side of the ball is doing your job and reading your keys. And, you know, if you do that, you look fast, you look physical, because, you know, you're able to play with your instincts, you know. And so they've done a great job doing that. We've had quite a few guys step up. I think of Devin Worman, one of our senior leaders, and his play. Not that he was poor week one, but he's just gotten so much better since week one, and he's just really leading our defense. Max Hoying is a sophomore in the middle. Noah Giozzi, those guys at linebacker have really done a much better job reading their keys and exploding to the football. And it doesn't hurt that up front, those guys are playing really well as well. You know, Blake Holdhouse and Colin Dietrich in the middle. And Blake was a guy that didn't play for us much week one. And he got an opportunity, and he really took hold of it. And he's done a really nice job on the inside. And then we've talked, we're pretty blessed with our defensive ends and Nate Ratterman and C.J. Billing. You know, two senior leaders, two captains that have played a lot of football. And so those guys, and I can't forget the back end, you know, our safeties, Jake Ratterman's a senior that, you know, throughout camp we kept, as coaches, we kept having the conversation, you know, is Jake going to be a guy that can step up and do something for us? And he's leading the league in interceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's done an outstanding job. Alongside him is Nick Brandewee, and you've seen Nick in other sports and the athlete that he is. And then our corners and Mark Sager and Carson Moore, just all around. You know, when you get 11 guys like that that are playing together and believing in what they're doing, we've seen a much, much better display on the field.
As a real credit to you, your coaching staff, and, of course, your players, opposing coaches whose teams have played Fort Loramie are saying, wow, do the Redskins ever block and tackle so well?
Yeah, that's you know what? At the end of the day, it comes down to that, you know, and And that's been something since week one. We didn't feel like we did a great job of that against Minster. And and that's partly because Minster is a really good football team.
Yeah.
So for us, it's just been focusing on those details. Because like you said, football doesn't have to be complicated. Just focus on the little details and play with discipline. And we've seen much better results.
Spencer Wells, head football coach at Fort Loramie in his first year. Our guest here at the half of Sidney Piqua football. Fort Loramie now 4-1. And we covered your victory over Covington. The next 2 weeks, you were down 7-0 and 7-0 to Miami East and Ansonia, and your club responded. That's a mark of a maturing team.
Yeah, you know, and I remember in the pregame we talked about at Miami East, we just said, we've got to believe. You know, we've got to believe in one another because they're a good football team, and there's going to be times tonight that they make plays, and we just got to keep believing in what we're doing and taking care of business. And they came out of the chute and marched right down the field, scored, and our guys came right back and responded. And that's been the nice thing. And even with Ansonia, it's been nice to see that when they came out, they had a long run. They hit us on a trap play.
Right.
And at one point, it was actually 10-7.
Yes.
And it ended up 37-10. And I think that that says a lot about our guys and just believing in it and knowing that we're not always going to be perfect. And when that happens, we just got to get back to our discipline and focus, and we'll be all right. So they've done a great job.
A sophomore quarterback, Colin Moore, 27 completions the last two games total.
Yeah. He, you know, right now at the midway point, he's completing well over 60% of his passes. He's only got the one interception, and I guess he's just making good decisions with the football. And it doesn't hurt that through the first half of the season he hasn't been sacked once, which says a ton about our offensive line. You know, when you've got a sophomore quarterback that can sit back there and play with that confidence and trust his offensive line, that's been probably the most important thing. He's been able to get comfortable, and he trusts what he's doing. He trusts his guys up front. And, you know, he'll be the first to tell you he's got plenty to clean up. You know, last week we were only about at the 50% mark. We missed some throws that Colin typically makes. And so that's, he's been really focused this week in practice and keep trying to get better.
You mentioned Colin being comfortable in the pocket. Your team doesn't want to get too comfortable.
Sure.
I know you sit atop this region in the computer rankings in D7, but the last thing you can do is get too comfortable. You got five games to win, including the one tonight, and then come the playoffs and for sure home field. But one game at a time, keep on getting better the last 5 weeks.
Yes, and it's funny you say that because we've actually been, you talked about being comfortable. The word that we've been focused on this week is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been coaching real long, but to me, I think that's one of the hardest things in any high school sport is getting your guys to play consistent on a weekly basis, you know, and not having any of those, not having a bad quarter, not having, you know, a bad half. And so that's been something that we've been stressing because, you know, we've got high expectations. And in order, the only way we're going to be able to accomplish those goals is to have consistent play night in, night out. So that's been a big theme in our practice.
Had a punt blocked against Covington.
Yep.
Has your kicking game sharpened up over the past few contests?
Yeah. You know, we made an adjustment on our scheme. Teams were attacking us off the left side. And not that I thought our initial scheme was bad, but we just couldn't get it timed up, whether it was we would bobble a snap, we had a low snap or a high snap. It just wasn't clean. And that's another area where we had a sophomore step up. And Sam Barhorse, he's been punting for us, and he's done a great job these last couple weeks. And, you know, that's really cleaned up. And you know, that's a huge part of the game. So that's something that we've been focused on.
Now, primary focus for Fort Loramie football in practices and in games over the month of October in advance of the playoffs, what would it be?
I don't want to get back to the same coach talk, but seriously, it's getting to consistent football. Uh-huh. We've got our scheme in. You know, we'll make some tweaks here and there, but really, by the midpoint of the season, you know what type of football team you're going to be. And for us, it's just cleaning everything up. We'll see a variety of defenses down the road, which will be good for us to adjust our looks and make sure that we have all our blocking rules and assignment sound. But to me, as you get to the second half of your season, and for us, hopefully preparing here for a playoff run, it's just finding the little things that you need to correct, everyone knowing their assignments, and then everybody playing with focus and consistent discipline. Because if you can get to that point, then I think you can have a lot of fun.
Yeah, consistency, cohesion, and chemistry.
Yeah, yep. And that's been – I've been blessed with that from the get-go. Yeah. You know, even our coaching staff, I feel we're very a tight unit. And our players, you can tell from the get-go, they enjoy playing with one another. And they're a great group that has a lot of fun. So – at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, you know, enjoying what you're doing, and hopefully we continue to do so.
Words of Fort Loramie head coach Spencer Wells. His club is leading tonight 31-6 over Twin Valley South on the road as Fort Loramie vies for victory number 5 in 6 games. The Redskins have been red hot and could make it 5 consecutive triumphs with a victory tonight. This is scoresbroadcast.com. I'm Jack, along with Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee, at the half of Sydney Piqua football, 7-6. Piqua leads Sydney by a point here at the half. Meanwhile, the Layman Catholic Cavaliers are defeating Hardin Northern tonight in a game being played at Piqua High School. Despite being low on numbers, despite a lot of inexperience, the Layman Catholic Cavaliers have reeled off 3 straight victories. They're shooting for a 4th tonight. Offensive coordinator is Bill Zimmerman.
Highlight the season to date. 2 losses to begin, 3 straight wins. You're on a roll. Numbers are down, rebuilding season, but you've won 3 of 5 so far.
Yeah, Jack, we had a pretty strong team last year, decent numbers up in the upper 30s, and we lost 14 seniors to graduation, 4 of them to college football. And so we only have 26 on the team this year, didn't get a ton of freshmen out. So we got a rough start with 4 recovery. We played fairly well, especially defensively. That was a 23-6 loss. We couldn't punch it in offensively, though we had more total yards than the Fort Recovery did. And we turned the ball over twice in our own red zone in the fourth quarter to give them 2 scores to put that game out of hand. But that was a close game most of the game. Then the next week we turned around and really got shell-shocked by Miami East. We played well offensively, having almost 400 yards of total offense, but we couldn't get the ball away from them, and they didn't even punt on us the entire time, losing 52-21. Bounced back against a Division IV Graham team and won 24-14. Elliot Gilardi, we put him in on defense as they were driving. We were up 17-14. They were driving with a minute and a half left, and Elliot Gilardi picked off a pass and returned it for a touchdown to give us the win, 24-14. Then we played a Ridgemont team who was a little down and handled them easily, 63-0. And then we had a shootout versus Elgin last week, who's got a nice offense. They run that foot-to-foot split situation, and that was a 36-all at half game and ended. We kind of took over in the second half. Our defense played well and only gave up 1 score in the second half. We took over and beat them 63-44.
Mm-hmm. You're playing Hardin Northern on the night that this interview is being shared with our listeners. Win over Hardin Northern, and then a victory away at Waynesfield Goshen, and you're right in the thick of the playoff picture.
Yeah, we really are. You know, standing at 3-2 right now, that would put us at 5-2 and in good shape. Mm-hmm. Hardin Northern is a team that didn't have football a few years ago. They were a powerhouse, if you recall, about a decade or a decade and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Won a state championship and had a state runner-up. Actually beat Marion Local in a regional final game that I attended years ago. They're starting to get back to the drawing board as far as where they were back in the day. Their head coach was associated with those teams, and they've been a team that I feel has gotten better each and every year. They had a nice win last week versus Riverside, which is a surprise, a 1-point victory. So it's a team not to be taken lightly. And then Waynesfield Goshen, again, another team that's on the up and up. They've been down a few years. Mm-hmm. They had a nice win versus Upper a couple weeks ago. And so if we can get get those two under our belt, that would be a nice start to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Bill Zimmerman, offensive coach, Layman Catholic, our guest here at the half of Pick with Sydney. In addition to participation numbers for football being down, in addition to having graduated a number of seniors a year ago, injuries have been a big factor.
Yeah, they've plagued us, as always. We just had a senior offensive and defensive lineman, Jared Magotso. He just went down with an ACL tear 2 weeks ago. First day of hitting, senior wide receiver Bradley Haynes, who tore his ACL his sophomore year and was wearing a brace on the same knee, tears his ACL again, his reconstructed ACL in that knee on the first day of hitting, but he is out there playing. He's missed one game, but he's in four games has 18 catches for over 300 yards and four touchdowns. He's been terrific.
Wow.
We have a couple other nagging injuries. We've had a couple minor concussions on the line. Mitchell Salmon, who's a converted running back to offensive line, has had some major shoulder issues, but he's playing through the pain. We're making do with what we have.
Elliot Gilardi suffered an ankle injury a year ago. He is healthy, thank goodness, this season.
He has stayed healthy, and we need him to. He is the cog that makes our offense go. He has over 800 yards passing, and really in four games he didn't play much in the Ridgemont victory. And he's our leading rusher with almost 400 yards on the ground. He makes our offense go.
Highlight some of the youth on this team. Johnny Edwards, outstanding young middle linebacker for
you. Yeah, we have a starting freshman at middle linebacker, a true freshman at middle linebacker. Johnny Edwards is going to be a good one. He's a starting linebacker. He'll come up and stick you. He has no issues with that. We have R.J. Bertini, who plays both ways at defensive back and wide receiver. He's a junior. We have Drew Barhorst and Tyler Salmon, who play some linebacking/safety roles and also running back roles.
Hey, your spread offense is well-liked throughout the Northwest Central Conference. Teams are going to what Layman does on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that seems to be true. And I guess, you know, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. But Hardin Northern is basically running what we've been doing, the zone read, inside-outside zone, and the run-pass option. We've also seen Perry go to that. So about half the teams now are running kind of what we run offensively.
Over the last few weeks, what does Layman Catholic need to improve on most to get into the playoffs?
I think we just need to do what we're coached to do. The kids tend to not, and they're getting better at it, but they've had troubles with trusting their teammates and trusting that their teammates will get their job done. Mm-hmm. So you do your job and they'll do theirs, and not what I call cowboying it and doing your own thing. So if we can continue to get better at that, doing your own job and sticking to your own job, I think we'll just continue to improve.
Layman Catholic offensive coordinator Bill Zimmerman. Cavaliers were 3-2 heading into play tonight against Hardin Northern. Cavs are winning comfortably, right, Chuck?
31-6 in the second quarter.
The Layman Catholic plays in OHSAA Division 7, Region 28, which is topped by Fort Loramie in first. Minster is second. Layman Catholic is ninth. And Layman Catholic certainly has a good shot at making the postseason.
Well, they play in a horrible league, and that's a plus and a minus. The plus is they're going to win a lot of games. The minus is they're not going to get a ton of points by beating some of these schools.
Right. And as we noted earlier, the Anna Rockets leading the night over Versailles at Anna's Booster Field play in Ohio Division 5, Region 18, the Northwest region. Bill Zimmerman, who is also our playoff guru, noted that Anna's got to go 7-3 to get into the postseason. Rockets were 3-2 heading into play tonight against Versailles. They host Fort Recovery, do the Rockets, next Friday before playing Coldwater on the road. And then two winnable games to close out the campaign for Anna against Delta St. John's and Parkway. So Anna's got a shot to get in, but the Rockets have got to take care of business tonight and next week.
Yeah, these are the 2 weeks that they really have to take care of it. Like you said, Delta St. John's is playing Minster 14-7 at halftime. So,
yep.
You got to go play the games. You can't take anybody lightly.
Exactly. And Bill Zimmerman also pointed out that Sydney and Pickwood to get into the playoffs in D2 and D3, respectively, have got to go 7-3 on the year. Well, we start second half play. Kickoff return by Pickwood of the 31, and the first play from scrimmage results in a loss as Micah Karn tries to sprint around right end, and there's no room. He's cut off, dropped back at the 28. Second down and 12 for Piqua, which leads Sydney by a score of 7-6 as we kick off play here in the second half.
You're kind of waiting. I thought the first half, I thought Sydney really kind of outplayed Piqua, but made enough mistakes. Piqua made enough mistakes penalty-wise, so that's why it's a 7-6 game right now.
It was a low-scoring first half, but both scores, one by each team, took place in less than a one-minute span, Chuck, there in the second quarter.
Yep. Well, that was a 7-yard run that was all the running back. He drug him 5 yards after contact.
That was Karan Coleman who surged through to the Piqua 35. Sydney's defense sets up 3rd and 5 Piqua, 35-yard line of the Indians. 1:20 into the third quarter, Piqua leads 7-6. Possession down here. Karn in the spread at the 30. It's a run all the way. He goes left tackle. And, ooh, what a hit by Sydney. Ball loose. And the fumble might have caused the ball to trip.
First down.
Yes. The ball did manage to turn forward about 3 or 4 times from the 39 to the 40. Piqua recovered it. It might not have been enough for a first.
Oh, I don't think. I think that Coach Dungis is down there explaining that that was not a fumble, and I agree with him. That was not a fumble.
In other words, the play should have been blown dead.
Should have been blown dead a yard short of the first down.
Yep.
You don't usually argue for the other team that it wasn't a fumble, but in that case, you do.
That's a good point. And Adam was all over it. 1st and 10, Piqua at the Indians 40. Tough break there for Sydney. Here is Karn rolling right. Oh, he hits a receiver on a slant pattern. Hit the 40, 35, 30. It's stripped. What a play by Sydney. I think it was Hudgens. Darren Taborn made the tackle in the strip and swooped up the football, and Sydney generates the takeaway. Well, that was done NFL style with a jackhammer from the side on top of the leather.
Yeah, that was a nice defensive play right there. He just got in there, got a hand in, and stripped him. That was going to be a huge play for the Indians.
Who was on the receiving end of that?
That was Toops.
I thought it was.
I'm going to go with Owen Toops. Yes. I keep saying Toops like there's not 20 of them out there.
And it was beautiful action by Karn in the offensive backfield. And he made a brilliant throw on the run to the left, hitting Toops for what was going to be a huge play of 30, maybe 40 yards, who knows, maybe even a touchdown. And out of nowhere came Taborn, and he tomahawked the ball free and scurried after it. Sydney with a 7-yard run on 1st and 10 from the Yellow Jackets 28. 2nd and 3, run, right tackle, Harris, beyond the linebackers, stays on his feet and pounds to the 45. 1st and 10, Sydney. Big turn of events early on, third quarter. Pick will receive the second half kickoff, but turned it over. That was a forced fumble by Sydney. Give the Yellow Jackets defense all the credit in the world. 45-yard line, Sydney. Fake inside handoff to Harris. Dunham throws right flat. Rontez Roberts hauls it in. He skirts the sideline. 50-49 of Piqua. 2nd down and 4. 3 minutes gone here in the third quarter. It's still a 7-6 game. And who knows, Chuck, much more low scoring than last year, but it could wind up being a contest decided in the final moment, like it was in 2017. Good running play, Sydney, between right tackle and guard, shooting to the 45 of Piqua, 10 to the 40, and inside it goes the ball carrier, E.J. Davis, the freshman, with a nice bolt ahead. 39 of Piqua is where it's marked. Piqua getting its ground game going. Here's a flat pass to Hudgens behind the line. He's drilled immediately. He stood up, a loss of a couple. Good tackle by Piqua's Jarrell Lewis. 8:42 to go, third quarter. 7-6 Piqua as its defense starts to stiffen. Second down, a dozen for Sidney from the pick with 41. Passing down here. Dunham drops to the 50. Hurls it behind the receiver at the 32. Nearly picked by Pickwa at the 30-yard line.
That is a drop by the defensive back. He had him that time. It hit Zane Booker right in the hands, and he was looking upfield before he reeled it into his body.
Yep, sure was. That ball was not spot on. Rontez Roberts made his cut. Ball was clearly a couple steps behind him. Fortunately for Sidney, Pickwa missed the interception. Third and 12, Sidney. 41-yard line of Pickwa. 7-6, Indians up a point. Four receivers flanked. Here's Dunham, quarterback draw, nothing doing. As Pickwa clogs up the middle belatedly, shutting Dunham down, it winds up being a sack of a few yards near the 44-yard line. 4 minutes gone, third quarter. Sidney's got to punt. And back in punt formation is Houts. He'll take the snap at the 41 to boot it away. One deep back for Pickwa at about his 12. Good low kick. Hits at the 17. Pickwa snatches it right there. And the up back is met solidly right now. 16-yard line, first and 10, Pickwa. 7:41 to go in the third.
Rockets lead 28-7 now over Versailles late in the second quarter.
Anna pulling away in the first half, a 3-touchdown advantage over Versailles.
Boy, had the 20-0 lead last week on Marion Local, and they just got steamrolled in the second half.
Uh-huh. And if Anna does win that game tonight over Versailles, we've got a crucial matchup next week at Booster Field, Fort Recovery at Anna, here on scoresbroadcast.com. Here's Karan Coleman getting the feed from the quarterback, Karn. He dances to the line of scrimmage, spilled at the 18-yard line. Might have picked up one or two. Second down, 8 for Pickwa. 7:24 to go, third quarter. 7-6, Pickwa up a point over Sidney. Indians to the line of scrimmage. Receiver flanked wide right by 15 yards. Another near side. That's Toops. Two backs split behind Karn. Neither one gets the ball. Karn's got it. Flat pass. Yes, well done. Complete to the 28. And it's Toops sprinting upfield to the 35. Dumped to the 36. Nice pass and run. Well designed. Nicely executed. That was Brennan Toops, who picked it off, and away he went. First down, Pickwa. Tell you what, Chuck, when Karn gets out of the pocket, he's very dangerous.
He throws the ball well on the run like that. They roll him right, he throws it, and he's got a nice strong arm.
Yep, he pitches it nicely in motion, as he did right then. 6:55 to go, third quarter, 7-6 Pickwa. First down Indians, zone 35. Here's a forward tap pass to the sweet man in motion, and he's got a dozen. Karan Coleman blitzes to the 47. Actually marked at the 46 where his knee touchdown. Give him a plus 11, and Pickwa's offense picks up two first downs and better than 25 yards on two plays. First down Indians at the Pickwa 46, leading by a point. Receiver far right for Pickwa. Karn in the spread back at the 40. Karn's going to run it right up the gut. Not much room. And Pickwa manages to plug up what little hole there was. Karn stuck his helmet in there for maybe a minimal gain. Give him about 3 feet and a yard. 6 minutes played here in the third quarter. Pickwa leads Sidney 7-6. Indians second down 9 at the Pickwa 47.
They run. When they run just that straight quarterback run, it's not near as effective as when they run the read where he has an option to hand it off or keep it.
Sidney's defensive line outsized by Pickwa's experienced offensive front. 5 of 6 of them for Pickwa are seniors. Here's Karn again in the offensive backfield, nearly caught. Now he misdirects, cuts back against the flow over the 50, fights hard to get down to the 46 of Sidney. late marker, probably a hold. The zigzag move by Karn was enabled as a result of a hold against an offensive lineman for the Indians. Good ad-lib play by Karn, but it might have helped trigger the offensive penalty against the offensive line. Well, as you mentioned in the first half, Chuck, Indians continue to shoot themselves in the foot with penalties.
Well, they got 65 yards in penalties, which is bad, but they keep getting penalties on big gaining plays, so it really kind of is a double whammy on them.
Oh, yeah, it's a mushroom. Second and 16, Pickwith, the Indians 40. Two receivers far right. Four down linemen for Sydney. Karn, 7 yards behind the line to throw. Heaves it right sideline. Wide open receiver beyond the cornerback in front of the safety at the 41. He's got it. And then he runs down the sideline for seven more. Darren Taborn on the tackle. Receiving end far side for Pickwichuk was one of the fine wideouts.
Yeah, it was Owen Toops.
Yes, it was. Owen Toops again. How many yards on that play? A good, 25?
That was 25. He's 3 for 3 here in the third quarter for 77 yards.
New line of scrimmage, the Sydney 35. Well, Pickwa's been behind the chains several times tonight, but they've gotten first downs with huge production. Big plays through the air. Here's a running effort on first and 10 for Pickwa, in gobbling up 4 or 5 is the ball carrier. It was Blankenship powering to the 31 of Sydney, in advance of 4, second down and 6, 4.5 to go, third quarter.
Well, the Yellow Jackets have only had the ball once here in the third quarter, so I think time of possession is kind of shifting a little bit towards Pickwa right now.
Will Sydney's defense wear down at the end of this drive? Pickwa hopes so. Second and 6, Karn is under his center. Delayed handoff, offensive backfield, no room to run. Pickwa slows it down. Excellent penetration by Yellow Jackets defensive linemen as they snarl up that play just outside the 30. Third and 5 for Pickwa. 4 minutes to go, third quarter. Pickwa 7, Sydney 6. Christian Redderer was able to submarine that last play and get arms around the ball carrier. Indians flanking a couple receivers to the right. Keep your eye on Karn. He's been known to improvise and take off running. Third and 5. Karn takes the snap. There he goes. And he ramrods his way outside right tackle. Coughed up the football. It's rolling forward. It's down to about the 21 or 20. Sydney's got it, or at least the Yellow Jackets indicate so. Karn had run for the first down. He coughed it up. Sydney smacked it out of his arms. Yellow Jacket recovery. 21-yard line. Pickwa, with turnovers and penalties, have really hampered the offensive attack.
Yeah, they have dominated the third quarter, and they're going to come out of it either up one or down, depending on what Sydney does with this drive here.
Another blunder, mistake by Pickwa, as Sydney managed to yank the ball away. We're down at the north end of the field. Sydney to the line of scrimmage. Dunham, handoff, Harris. Harris met solidly right at the point of attack, the 20. He bounces off for 3 or 4. Second down and 6, Sydney, inside the Yellow Jackets 25. Quickly played third quarter. 3:12 to go in the period. 7-6, Pickwa. Yellow Jackets scored on a long bomb to Taborn that traveled about, 50 yards?
53.
Here's Dunham, quarterback draw, looks for an opening. There's a slither, and he's twisted to the turf at the 27. He might have carved out 2. That's it. Pickwa's defensive line has not allowed much by Sydney on the ground since the first series of this game. 3rd and 3, Sydney. Important play here. Yellow Jackets have the wind at their back in the third quarter. Dunham to Harris, left tackle. He's got a crack, and he springs through it to the 34. He's got a dash for 6 or 7 and a first down, Sydney. Good offensive line play there by the Yellow Jackets. Good work up front. Give a lot of credit to Smothers, Kennedy, Collingsworth, Vanderpool, and Jones. They created the opening and through the gap went Harris. Here's a flat pass, 3 yards behind the line. It is Quamir Brown hauling it in. Not much room. Sidney slows him down at the line of scrimmage. He slides out of bounds. Might have gained a couple. Short pass and run to the 35 of Sidney. 2 minutes to go, third quarter, 7-6 Piqua. Sidney with second and eight from the Yellow Jackets, 35. Couple of receivers right, couple to the left for Dunham. Four down linemen for Piqua. Deep drop by Dunham, wants to throw the screen. It's being snuffed out by Piqua, and Dunham's got to throw it at the feet of the Sidney receiver in the offensive backfield. It's Caleb Harris, or Dunham was going to be sacked for about a 15, 16-yard loss.
Well, he made the catch for a 5-yard loss, so he should have just batted that one down. But
did Harris actually receive it?
Yeah, he caught it.
Ball was low at his feet. I thought it was.
5-yard loss. Yeah, he caught it. He caught it as he went to the ground. You got to know where you are on the field, especially you're a senior.
Sure do. I thought it was a misfire. Third and 13 for Sidney. A minus three on the play. Line of scrimmage, the 30. Dunham rolling left. He's got one receiver out deep. He throws it short near the first down stake. Off the fingertips of Brown at the 41 or 2. Very close to being a reception and a first down. But Sidney's got to punt with the wind. The final, a minute 19, third quarter. Chuck, this may be our fastest played 7 o'clock start in scoresbroadcast.com football coverage history.
Absolutely. Tell you who we have not seen much of, and we really liked him in the Bell Fountain game, was E.J. Davis.
Yes.
Another freshman who was a stud in that game.
He's touched it just a couple times, we think, so far. Here's the kick by Houts, and he rolls left, rugby-style kick, and it's a poor one. With the wind, he angled it sharply out of bounds at the 50.
20-yard punt.
Been a couple 20-yard punts in this game, one by each team.
Well, so far, neither team has decided that they want to do what it takes to win this thing. It's been a fun game to watch, but a lot of mistakes both sides.
7-6 Piqua, Indians possession, midfield, far hash, a minute 13 left, third quarter. Yellow Jackets down a point. Let's see if head coach Bill Neese of Piqua tries to ride the wave of that very strong senior-laden offensive line. Karn in the spread. He sidesteps to the left and makes a late handoff, and the ball carrier bounces wide, cuts it back at the near hash. Coleman lunges up ahead to the 45 of Sidney. He picked up five, second and five for Piqua.
Well, Lehman at halftime will have the running clock to start the third quarter. They're up 38-6.
Indians offensive line. Brennan Toops tied in. Caden Maxwell a tackle. Caden Clark a tackle. Zane Arbogast and Riley Hill the guards. Jacob Strayer at center. Everybody 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". In around 290 or better. Here's the handoff to Keegan Kuhn, offensive backfield for Piqua, and he trudges behind his blockers. That offensive line created a little bit of a cavity, and Kuhn sneaked his way to the 40. First down, Piqua. Final 20 seconds, third quarter. That might have been the last play of the period. In fact, Piqua's huddle is stepping toward the far sideline, and head coach Bill Neese. That will do it. Three periods in the books here at Sidney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. 7-6 Piqua over Sidney on scoresbroadcast.com.
This business and proud sponsor of high school sports provides valuable products and services for our local agriculture industry.
Well, here at Bambach Fertilizer and Seed, we have three retail locations, one just east of New Knoxville, one just south of Jackson Center, and one here in Pemberton, Ohio.
Matt Bambauer, who manages the Pemberton store, said area farms have relied on Bambauer for fertilizers, seeds, and crop protection chemicals for over half a century.
For me, this work has been a way of life since I was a kid. There's There's actually four generations of my family that's been serving the ag industry. If you really wanted to look, it goes clear back to the 1930s.
Service is more than just a word at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed. It's a promise that is kept with each customer every single time.
We serve the ag industry in six West Central Ohio counties. Here at Bambauer's, we pride ourselves in providing the very best products and services to our customers.
On the web at Bambauer, Bambauer Fertilizer.com.
The fourth quarter upcoming here on ScoresBroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. 7-6, Pickwa over Sidney. Yellow Jackets defense has been on the field about 8 minutes of this second half of the 12 played. Pickwa's got the ball first and 10 at the Yellow Jackets 40. Here's a ball swung into the left flat by Pickwa. It is well done by the quarterback, Karn, to Toops. He catches at the 42, and he barrels down to the 32. It's a net of 8 on the play. Chuck, which Toops was that? Was it Brennan?
That was Brennan again.
Second down.
No, I'm sorry. That was Owen.
We'll get it straight.
It was Toops.
If we say Toops, we're probably right.
Fairly close to what's going on here.
30 seconds gone. Fourth quarter. 7-6 Pickwa. Indians. Second and 2 at the 32 of Sidney. Couple of fumbles by the Indians here in the second half of stop drives. Handoff, right tackle. Keegan Kuhn trudges to the line of scrimmage, tries to work his way to the 30, and gets there. He's got a plus 2. That's what he needed. First down Indians, 30-yard line of Sidney.
Pickwa had a 128-44 yardage advantage there in the third quarter, but nothing on the board because of their two fumbles.
Right. 1 minute gone, fourth quarter. Pickwa huddling at the 35. Line of scrimmage, the 30. Goffney Furniture in Sidney. Don't miss out on the always fresh inventory of fantastic furniture at Goffney, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sidney. Take advantage of outstanding furniture at Goffney, priced just right. As a timeout is called on the field, with Pickwa up by a point, 10:49 to go in this game, and Pickwa has a first and 10 at the Yellow Jackets 30-yard line. Goffney Furniture is located Route 47 west of I-75 in Sidney. And as I mentioned, a fresh array of new inventory always at Goffney. For your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service. Extremely high-quality furniture, priced right. Check out Goffney for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee, Goffney Furniture. Go to the website for even more savings. Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store on the web at goffneyfurniture.com. That's G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. The Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store, high-quality furniture, priced right, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sidney. Indians to the line of scrimmage, a first and 10 at the Sidney 30. Card in the spread, a back alongside, and we've got a pre-snap penalty. Another 5-yard foul against Pickwa. It's amazing, Chuck. Indians have been penalized, what, about 8 or 9 times in this game?
8 times for 70 yards.
And the Indians have also committed a couple of big turnovers in this third quarter.
Fumbled twice in the third quarter. Sidney's got one penalty for 10 yards. Technically not a turnover with the block punt, but
right.
I call it a turnover.
The two big second half turnovers committed by Pickwa to snuff out marches down the field. First and 15 after the 5-yard penalty. Karn rolling left, 7 yards behind the line. Look out, he's going to keep. He barges down the left sideline. He's got a block, another one, and he barrels inside the 25 to about the Sidney 22. And he picked up a dozen or 13. Second down, a couple for Pickwa. Well, Micah Karn has run the football, Chuck, like a fullback or tailback.
Yeah, he's got good. I was talking to a couple of the coaches before the game, and they were telling me that he's somebody you want to watch, and we've not been disappointed in him.
No, he does it all. just as Caleb Harris is a workhorse for Sydney, Karn is for Piqua. Second and two, Indians. Karn gives it, ball carrier, right tackle, running room. He slashes to the 16. Nice run by Karan Coleman of Piqua. And on second and a couple, he picked up enough for the first down at the Sydney 16-yard line.
Now the Yellow Jackets need to force another turnover right here, it looks like.
We're down to 10:28 to go in the fourth quarter. Head coach Bill Neese of Piqua commented during a pregame, the strength of his club is the offensive line, and it is doing yeoman's work here in the second half. Five seniors and a junior along that stout front. Here's a flat pass by Piqua, caught a yard behind the line of scrimmage. Sydney's all over the receiver, a yard downfield at the 15, not much of a gain on the play, maybe a foot or two, and that's it. I spoke of Harris. Caleb was in there on the stop. Second down, under 10 to go for Piqua. 9:46 remaining in the fourth quarter. Piqua up a point over Sydney, 7-6. Here comes a receiver to the right. Another one to the right for Karn. Karn's got a back alongside him. Karn keeps. He just blasts over left guard, meets resistance at the 14, stays on his feet, and hammers to the 11. That's what I mean. Karn bulldozes like a fullback. He doesn't go down as a result of the initial hit or two. Third and five, Piqua. And if you're the Indians, do you run it twice here, Chuck?
I don't know if they can get it. I'm glad I'm not making the call.
The first play will dictate what happens on the second. Third and five, Piqua. It's Karn all the way. Outside right tackle. He's beyond the linebackers to the 5-4. Lunging. 2. Knee down on the 1. Goal to go, Piqua. What a play.
I would absolutely run it.
Micah Karn is starting to focus in on what, close to 100 yards? He's probably got 75 or 80.
Got to be. Let me see what he had at halftime. He had, where's the rushing? He had 50 yards at halftime, so he's got to be close.
8:34 to go in this game. Piqua on the doorstep of a touchdown. Here's Keegan Kuhn in the offensive backfield. Dealt the ball by Karn of Piqua. Kuhn has stood up, no gain. He's hammered at the 1. Second down, goal to go, Piqua. 8:15 to go here in the fourth quarter. Chuck, it's amazing how little Sydney's had the football in the second half. We played 16 minutes here in the third and first part of the fourth. Sydney's had the ball for, what, 3 to 4 minutes of the 16? Piqua better than 12.
13 plays they ran here in the second half.
Goal to go, two backs behind Karn. 1 yard line of Sydney. Karn wanted to keep it. He stopped at the 1, but his offensive line paves the way, and Karn plunges home for the touchdown. 13-6, Piqua. Karn's got 13 points, and he tries to make it 14 with the successful try.
You may want to think about missing this, because then Sydney will try to kick the extra point if they score.
Here's the PAT try by Karn from the 10. This is so important. Last year's game was decided by 1 point, 34-33, Sydney. Here's the snap from center, kick nearly blocked. Wow. Karn got it away, and it is good by Karn. Nearly tipped away by Sydney.
Karn
wow.
Got drilled.
It was really close to being batted by Sydney, as lunging through for the Yellow Jackets was Caleb Harris, I think, who almost blocked it. Karn gets up slowly, as does the holder. 7:45 to go, fourth quarter. Piqua up 8, 14-6 over Sydney on scoresbroadcast.com.
Okay, what's the best way to eat the basket meals at Frisch's Big Boy? With your hands? A fork? Chopsticks? Oh, who cares? It's basket time, and we're throwing the rules out the window. Within reason, of course. Try spicy buffalo bites or popcorn shrimp, both with crinkle cut fries. Or Frisch's fish and chips with tartar sauce. Mmm, all served with a drink for just $6.99 each. Yeah, bring on the baskets. Limited time, only at participating Frisch's.
What's your favorite thing at Frisch's in Troy, Tip City, and Sydney?
Yep, under 8 to go in this game. Piqua having scored a second time. Two touchdowns for Karn. Two PATs for Micah Karn. 14-6, Piqua in the lead. And Sydney, which has had very little offense in this second half, what, about 3.5 minutes total, will go to work with 7:45 to go, down by 8.
Need a touchdown and a two-point conversion to send this thing into overtime.
Exactly.
Still plenty of time. 7:45. They got all three timeouts.
Here's a side-winding kickoff by Piqua, hauled in by Sydney at the 19, and the return man reverses his field and brings it back up over the 30. 34-yard line. Good return by Sydney. Ball was caught in the line drive beyond the far hash on the numbers and returned all the way across the field horizontally to the near hash.
That's Josiah Hudgens, and he is, every time he touches the ball, has a chance to take it to the house.
And he's going to have to be a playmaker on this drive. First and 10, Sydney, at their own 35. Here is Dunham. He faked the ball to Caleb Harris in the offensive backfield. Thought about giving it to him. Good read by Dunham, who kept, and he managed to wedge out two. Harris would have been dropped for a loss. Second down, 8 for Sydney at their own 37. 7:14 to go in the game. Deep drop, but Dunham arches at mid-range. Diving reception, good, but Sydney at the 44. Getting his arms under it was Rottez Roberts. Chuck, if it's the NFL, you take a look at that one.
Yeah, I think he caught it, though. I think he went down and got it.
Beautiful throw, but Dunham behind the linebackers in front of the corners and safeties. Excellent route by Rottez Roberts. And the quarterback, Dunham, did a beautiful job, Chuck, lofting that ball over the LBs of Piqua. And the play for Sydney goes for 18 and a first down to the Piqua 45. Snap back to Dunham. Here's Harris. He's got an avenue. Look at him go. He breaks into the clear. Daylight Caleb Harris. 15, 10, caught from behind. Ankle tackle at the 7 or 8. Caleb almost took it to the house from 42 or 43 yards away. Actually, the 45 was the previous line of scrimmage as he romped on the play for 38. Caleb Harris with a dandy run. And we've got a timeout called. Well, Piqua scored in the second quarter immediately in less than a minute. Sydney retaliated. And we got a similar theme setting up here in the fourth. Timeout called, just under 7 to go. 14-6 Piqua on scoresbroadcast.com.
Goffney Furniture in Sydney is impressive. Find out for yourself. Go to Goffney, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney. For your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service free of charge. Extremely high quality furniture, priced just right at Goffney. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
So many thanks here on scoresbroadcast.com to the Francis Schulte Company and Superior Aluminum in Rushi, plus the Jewelry Barn in Rushi. It will make your ideas come to life. The gem of Rushi. From the 8-yard line, Sydney handoff, Dunham juggled, retained by Sydney. No gain on the play. Maybe a loss of a yard.
Boy, they got a break there because that ball was bobbling around there and it didn't hit the turf.
I think it was E.J. Davis, 24.
It was Davis, yep.
If E.J. had it, lost it as it went from one palm to the other. He regained it. Didn't secure it away very well, was dropped, lost a couple feet, goal to go Sydney, 9-yard line of Piqua. It's four down territory for sure. Sidney down by eight. Over six to go. Hand off Davis. Offensive backfield. In sweep right side. Piqua tracks him down at the 11. Makes a hit. Davis stays on his feet. Out of bounds at the 7 or 8. Excellent pursuit by Piqua.
Quick feet, though, but I'll tell you what, anybody else would have been down probably about 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Indeed. Now, E.J. was in there to spread the field and use all of it laterally. He did. You're right, Chuck. Anybody slower is dropped for no gain or a loss. Davis did get a few. Goal to go from inside the Piqua 8. Snap to Dunham. Looks middle of the field. Quarterback draw. He wriggles to the 6, and Piqua stops him. Goal to go, Sydney, at the Piqua 7 is where the knee for Dunham touchdown. Great defensive stand here for Piqua, which has allowed only 1 yard in 3 plays.
Well, I'll tell you what, again, that was Trenton Foster that ran Harris down from behind on the 5. Looked like it was just window dressing. Turns out it might be a heck of a tackle.
Very good linebacker play by Foster, and Sydney takes a timeout. With 5:13 to go in the fourth quarter, the way Pick was controlled the ball, Chuck, Sydney might not get it back again.
Yeah, that was a timeout Pick was. So okay. Sydney does have all 3 of their timeouts. So if they, heaven forbid, don't score on this play, then they do have 3 timeouts. Pick was going to be back deep, but you're down here. You started first and goal on the 5. You do not want to end up not scoring on this possession.
Right. Piqua used one of its full complement of 3 timeouts earlier in this half. As Chuck noted, it was Piqua which called the timeout right then, not Sydney. So Piqua's down to 1. Sydney has its full complement of 3 remaining. We're down to 5:13 on the clock. And the way Piqua controlled the ball the first 16 minutes of the second half, the Sydney Yellow Jackets may have a hard time getting it back again after this series of plays, which is now down to 4th and goal from the Piqua 7. 5:13 left. It's 14-6 Piqua. Sydney's got trips to the right for Dunham. He's back at the 12. Caleb Harris alongside. Dunham rolls right, looking, runs out of real estate. Back corner of the end zone. He's got a receiver. Is he inbounds? I think so. Is there an official ruling? Yes! Touchdown, Sydney! And who is the young man who caught the football? Number 4, and that is Darren Taborn, who is tight-roping the boundary, 9.5 yards deep in the end zone. You talk about a spot-on, perfect pass from Ryan Dunham.
That's a nice call. They flooded that side. They had 3 runs out there. 1 came across the middle. They rolled him to that side to keep the pressure off of him, and he did a great job. That was 9.5 yards deep in the end zone.
2-point conversion to tie the game. Dunham back in the spread at the 8. Will Sydney use a timeout here? Yellow Jackets have 2 wides each way. Dunham at the 11 to throw. Blitz by Piqua. Throw is into an empty space in the middle of the end zone. Great dial-up by Piqua, which came with a full-fledged blitz, causing Dunham to throw fast, and no one was home.
Well, you've got 5:07 to go. All 3 of your timeouts, but, man, you need to play defense on this series right now. You cannot, if you give up a couple of first downs, the game's over.
Oh, it's turned into one heck of a game here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field tonight, 14-12 in favor of Piqua over Sydney, as the Yellow Jackets have missed both points after in this contest so far tonight.
Well, we talked before the game, and we felt Piqua's strength was their offensive line and running between the tackles, and they've done that strength really well in the second half. We talked about Sydney having the outside speed and the skill players, and that is what has got them back within 2 points here with 5 minutes to go. So each team using their strengths, and both defenses actually doing a pretty good job against these offenses.
Exactly. Yeah, the defenses have held their own. We thought it might take 28, for sure 21 points to win this game tonight, but that may not be the case. So many thanks here on ScoresBroadcast.com to Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies. Dickman in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville. Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place quite like Brookins. And during our next time out, we'll share with you all we know about Brookins. Carl Arnes, now the man in charge at Brookins in Fort Loramie. Good kickoff by Sydney, way down to the 4-yard line. Run back up the near hash mark by Piqua to the 22.
That was a heck of a kick.
And that's where the Indians start. First down, 10 yards to go from the Piqua 22-yard line.
That was Cam Vortemark. He's a 5'11", 162-pound sophomore. And I'll tell you what, he did a nice job. That put Piqua back where they're going to have to be a little careful on what they try to run here.
Good-looking future Yellow Jacket kicker right there. 14-12 Piqua, 4:58 to go here in the fourth quarter. Piqua football at the Indians 22. And you can bet Piqua will give Sydney's defense a dose of run, run, run. Karn in the spread, man in motion left. Karn behind his up back, surges to the 25. Look at that offensive line power. Karn stays on his feet, 28, 29. He got all the way to the 30.
And they never did get him off his feet.
No. Yeah, there have been a number of running plays tonight where Karn didn't go to the ground. Whistles blew. Forward progress was stopped. Karn was still standing up.
Well, you better be real careful if you're a Piqua with the football right now, because Sydney has shown their adept at stripping the ball.
Sure are. Two big takeaways by Sydney in that third quarter. 4:22 to go. The clock a factor. Piqua one timeout left. Sydney three. Second down, a couple for Piqua from the Indians 30. Karn's got a receiver wide left. Karn not in the spread here. Gives it to his running back, who is submarined back at the 28 or 29. It was Jarrell Lewis, and that was stopped cold. Stalemated by Sydney. It's a minus one or two. It sets up a third and every bit of three, closer to 3.5 yards to go. Let's see if Piqua likes to throw for it here. 3.5 remaining.
Be surprised we don't see a quarterback run.
14-12. Piqua leads by two. Play call coming in slowly. Play clock down under 10. Karn under center. Two backs behind him. Quick count. Misdirection. Offensive backfield. Great running play. Piqua breaks it for 10 and a first down.
Ran a counter. That's the first time they've run that all night. That was a heck of a good call right there.
It sure was. Good spot for it. Nice timing by Piqua's play caller. And I'm not sure who that ball was fed to eventually.
Was it
Coleman?
Yeah, it was Coleman.
And he dashed to the 38. That gives Piqua four new plays. We're down to 3 minutes left, and Sydney's got to start thinking about timeouts.
They're going to have to, if it's anything short of a first down, they're going to have to use their timeouts now.
Piqua line of scrimmage, 32. Karn deals it. Coleman manages to dig to the line of scrimmage over it. He stood up tall right at the 40, and I think head coach Adam Dungis
called his first time
out. Got the word from Chuck McVee, timeout called.
Believe me, he doesn't need my help.
2:45 to go in this game. It is 14-12, Piqua in the lead over Sydney. Piqua will have the football inside its 40 with second down coming up in about 12 yards to go for a first down when play resumes, and Sydney needs a stop in the worst way.
Well, the pressure's on both of them because Sydney's defense, yes, needs a stop, but if they do get a stop, they have, Piqua knows that Sydney's got the ability with the playmakers they have to score from any place on one play.
Yep.
So if the pressure is not off the Indians yet.
More than likely after the second down play, after the third down play, Sydney will utilize timeouts number 2 and 3.
But if it gets to second and third down, yes, it definitely will.
Oh, Brookins in Fort Loramie is a great place to eat. Brookins has been a fixture in downtown Fort Loramie since the late 1800s. Nowadays, Brookins is the place to be for enjoying some roasted chicken dinners, plus many specialty sandwiches, pizza, and the pork chop special on Saturday nights. Your food is always cooked fresh. Carl Arns is the man in charge after Dale and Joyce Barhorst ran Brookins for 12 years. And Carl, like Dale and Joyce, puts his heart and soul into creating a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. Here's Karn on 2nd and 12, breaking tackles, breaking another over the 45. He lurches to the 48, very close to a first down. Chuck, he got 11 and needed 12. It's going to be 3rd and 1 for Piqua.
Well, and Caleb Harris saved the day there because he was one step away from breaking that for at least a first down, maybe scoring.
I tell you what, if Karn's jersey had not stuck to his body so well, that's what Harris had a fistful of. If that jersey tears away, you're right, Karn's is off and running. And now Sydney is faced with stopping Piqua on a 3rd and 1. And for all intents and purposes, this is the ball game riding on this play.
This could be it. I mean, barring any kind of turnover or something, but if they get the first down here, they got one timeout. The clock will stop to set the chains, but it's dire straits for Sydney. This is the play for them right now. They need to get penetration, find a gap, understand what Pick was going to try to do to them. They ran that counter the last time down. I don't think they're going to run the counter again this time, so need to watch. I think they'll be under center, and you got to watch for the quarterback.
Yep. So Sydney has used two of its three timeouts, correct?
Two. They got one left.
One left. Yeah, Brookins in Fort Loramie is the ideal space to reserve for family gatherings, birthdays, anniversaries, and more. And the upstairs banquet room seats up to 60 at Brookins in Fort Loramie. 3rd and 1, and Karn is in the spread. Behind his up back, he pounds over left tackle, stays on his feet, crawls across the 50, all the way to the Sydney 45. Micah Karn, well over 100 yards. And he sets up shop for Piqua at the Sydney 45. That was sort of a read run by Karn. He's done it well all night in the spread behind his blocking back in front of him.
Sydney's had two big plays to score their 12 points. Piqua has dominated the line of scrimmage here in the second half for sure.
We've played 22 minutes here in the second half, Chuck. And I bet Piqua's had the ball for 15 or 16 minutes.
I don't think there's any doubt. Well, I'll get a look at that. I think Brett Mars will bring me down some stats.
Hand off left tackle. It is Jarrell Lewis, and he slips from the 43 to the 42. Down he goes. Sydney player momentarily shaken up. Timeout, Sydney. That's the last one for the Jackets. 2:02 to go. And Sydney cannot stop the clock after Piqua's next two running plays, Chuck. So if it does eventually get to fourth down, Piqua's going to be punting with well under a minute to go in the game.
Right, and they're going to be pinning Sydney way back. So, the Yellow Jackets need to be in strip mode right now, try to get in there and try to pop that ball out.
No doubt. Well, as we were talking, Brookins in Fort Loramie is your great stop any night of the week for roasted chicken, specialty sandwiches, pizza, the pork chop special tomorrow night on Saturdays. Now owned by Carl Arns, and he is providing Brookins with the same fun, family-friendly atmosphere that was offered by Dale and Joyce Barhorst, the previous owners, for a dozen years. With over a century of rich history and plenty of roasted chicken and Brookins burgers to go around, there is no place like Brookins in Fort Loramie at 10 Elm Street, on the web at brookins-usa.com. Yep, Sydney's not beaten Piqua twice in a row since the late 70s, and Piqua is on the verge of defeating Sydney here tonight. Karn kept the football, rolled around left end. There might have been a late flag thrown in as Karn tight ropes the sideline. He runs a few extra yards out of bounds. He was flushed to the boundary at the 37. He needed 7 for a first down. He got 4 or 5, but the marker clearly is against Piqua.
They may get out of here with a win tonight. It's not assured yet. But, boy, they got some stuff to clean up.
Whew. another penalty on Piqua. Well over 100 yards in penalties against the Indians. And Chuck Karn was going to run out of bounds and stop the clock, even if the penalty marker wasn't thrown.
I think I saw him turn up at the last minute, and he stayed in bounds.
Knowing Micah Karn, that is probably what he did do. Boy, he is a strong, heady ball player. Second down, 17 for Piqua. Way back now at the Indians, 48. Here's misdirection counter, faked by Karn, who throws it over the head of a receiver, and that does Sidney a favor, stopping the clock.
Why?
And the clock halts at a minute 51. Third and 17. Piqua doesn't dare throw it again.
Well, Piqua had another hold, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway, but I think they're going to decline this one, I would assume.
Yep, the downs are of utmost importance. You can't give Piqua a second down play all over again. Third down for Piqua. Indians need about 17 for a first down. They can reach Sydney's 35 and get it. A minute 51 to go in the fourth quarter. Clock was stopped right there.
Well, and now Sydney at the end of this play can call a timeout. They're going to be out of timeouts, but they're still going to have the football with about a minute and a half to go.
Yep.
They like I said, they're too good to give the ball to that spot.
Yeah, had Piqua run the ball there, the Indians would have given up the ball in a punt with under a minute to go. Piqua runs right up the middle. It's Karn. Karn got more than he should have. He sidestepped one man, another, and he fought his way over to the Sydney 44.
Oh, no, wait a second. The clock's still running. They say there's still one timeout on the board.
One timeout for Piqua remaining, none for Sydney.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the wrong side.
And the clock is ticking down. A minute 26, minute 25. Piqua surely will punt the ball. Line of scrimmage, the 44 of Sydney. Yellow Jackets will send back Darren Taborn, and he's capable of going 85 or 90 for a score.
Right, they're going to call a timeout with 1 second to go here. There's going to be about a minute seven when they punt the ball.
So Piqua will boot it away with a minute seven to go in the game. Sydney will get the football, probably down inside its own 20 somewhere. Taborn needs to spring.
Oh,
tremendous return.
I think you kicked the ball out of bounds. I don't think you take any chance on kicking the ball down the field to him.
Very well put, and you can bet that's what the Indians coaching staff is talking about right now with the punt team. A directional kick is in order. You knock it out of bounds, 15, 10-yard line. Even if it's at the 20, you make Sydney score from scrimmage.
Right, and there's going to be a minute left probably right in that area right at the end of this. No timeout, so...
Because with all these skill players for Sydney, a Darren Taborn punt return is an offensive weapon. That's a big play.
Oh, I don't let Taborn handle the ball right here myself.
Nope. Well, Hubbard for the Bengals last week came within an eyelash of a big block punt late in that game against Carolina. He was a whisker short of blocking it. Sydney is braced to come at the punter here. It's Karn who does get it away, and it's tremendously high. It's way up in the air. Piqua tries to stop it in the field of play.
And they do.
I'm not sure if the Indians got it done. Yep, Piqua did down it at the 1 foot line. Tremendous
wow.
Coverage by Piqua. You can't draw it up any better than that. Karn's kick, number one, Chuck, was an unbelievable skyscraper. And three or four players for Piqua were able to corral the punt inside the five. They let it roll and trickle to the 1 foot line. 59 seconds to go. Sydney down by two. Yellow Jackets need about 70 or 80 yards to somehow work the ball into field goal range for Caleb Harris. Hallie Truesdale out with an injury. Here's a slant pattern by Sydney, nearly intercepted by Piqua. It's on the ground, incomplete at the 9.
Boy, I tell you what, that was almost picked.
55.5 to go. 14-12 Piqua. It's been a terrific football game, much like the one a year ago, won by Sydney, 34-33.
Yeah, totally different type of game, but still a thrilling game.
Two-point lead, Piqua. Dunham in the spread, 5 yards deep in the end zone. He retreats 8 yards deep. Over the middle pass. Receiver gathers at the 19. Chain will be advanced. First down. Clock stopped. 50.3 left. Maybe you clock it with a spike here, Chuck. Sidney to the line of scrimmage. First and 10. Dunham deep drop. Looks middle of the field. No one home. Evades a sack. He's back at the 9. He throws it out of bounds.
He had to throw the ball past the line of scrimmage to make that a not a grounding, and it's going to be a grounding.
And that's a good call. Good call.
And that's a loss of down.
Yep. And Dunham, in his haste, he really had no choice.
Well, he got hit right when he thought. I think he was going to do the right thing, got hit, and the ball kind of popped away from him.
And he was scrambling back inside the 10. As I lose my voice here in the last 40 seconds of this game, 39.7 to go. The scoreboard reads second down for Sidney.
And there's a spot. It's from the spot where he threw it. So it's a second and 27 now.
Second and 27 from inside the 5.
The only positive thing that happened there was it did stop the clock.
14-12 pick with 39.7 to go. Dunham takes the low snap. Here comes the rush. He throws a pass, middle of the field. It's caught, then a lateral. It's fumbled. Pickwa might have recovered at the 19-yard line. Maybe Sidney got it. Oh, there is Bedlam on the field. A scramble for the loose leather. It is Sidney possession. Clock running. No first down was gained. No timeout available. 13, 12, 11. Dunham. He spikes the football on the ground. He clocked it.
That's going to be fourth down now.
10.6 to go, and you're right, Chuck. Fourth and 11 for Sidney at the Yellow Jackets 19. It was a hook and lateral, and the first half of it was executed pretty well. Don't know that the receiver on the lateral, Chuck, was going to get upfield very far. Maybe another 10 yards.
They were looking for it.
Yep, Pickle was all over it. Indians defense has been superb here in the second half. 8 seconds, 7. Dunham throwing middle of the field. Center fielder for Pickle nearly intercepts at the 41.
So now the problem for Sidney is that was fourth down. Yep. The problem is they don't have the ball anymore.
That was a fourth down play. Pickle takes over and had that pick been secured. Pickwa could have danced around in the secondary with the football and ended the game. Of course, the last thing you want to do is intercept and run. It was not caught. It was fourth down, so that was smart. So it's Pickwa ball at the Sidney 19 with 5.6 left. Sidney's defense did the job in the second half. And...
yeah, they gave up 7 points on a blocked punt, and they gave up 7 points in the second half. They did everything they could.
Yes. Yes, Sidney played extremely well. Yellow Jackets just could not get their offense on the field enough here in the second half. Final 24 minutes of the game dominated, probably 17-7 by Pickwa, which wins 14-12 as Karn goes to a knee on the last snap of the night. Heck of a game. Last year's game decided by one extra point. This year's game decided by 2 extra points. 14-12 Pickwa over Sidney on homecoming here at Sidney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. We will wrap it up in a moment on scoresbroadcast.com.
This business and proud sponsor of high school sports provides valuable products and services for our local agriculture industry.
Well, here at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed, we have 3 retail locations, one just east of New Knoxville, one just south of Jackson Center, and one here in Pemberton, Ohio.
Matt Bambauer, who manages the Pemberton store, said area farms have relied on Bambauer for fertilizers, seeds, and crop protection chemicals for over half a century.
For me, this work has been a way of life since I was a kid. There was
actually four generations of my family that's been serving the ag industry. If you really wanted to look, it goes clear back to the 1930s.
Service is more than just a word at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed. It's a promise that is kept with each customer every single time.
We serve the ag industry in six West Central Ohio counties. Here at Bambauer's, we pride ourselves in providing the very best products and services to our customers.
On the web at Bambauer, Bambauer, fertilizer.com.
Well, it was certainly worth the price of admission. We didn't cover a game last week. 2 weeks ago, we did. Anna St. Henry.
That was another great game.
Oh, yeah.
We're on a roll.
Yes. We've had two super high school football games in succession. 2 weeks ago, St. Henry and Anna won by Anna in overtime, 28-27. Tonight, Piqua hangs on to nip Sydney, 14-12, in a thriller here at Sydney High School. One heck of a game. Neither team deserved to lose. Simply put, Chuck, Piqua's defense did the job in the second half, and the offense for the Indians, the run game, controlled the football. 17 minutes plus to less than seven for Sydney over the final two quarters.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game where the defense did a good job. The offense controlled things.
Yes.
I handed some stats here at the end. Piqua, 28 minutes to Sydney's 20 minutes in time of possession. So that was quite a difference in the second half. 318 total yards for the Indians, 307 for Sydney. Very balanced right there.
Yep.
The penalties really put a hurt on Piqua. Sydney, and the turnovers. The Yellow Jackets fumbled twice, didn't lose either one. The block punt hurt them. Karn ran 19 times for 122 yards. Harris ran 18 times for 104 yards.
There you go.
There you go. It was
heck of a game.
That was a heck of a game. It was a heck of a game. It was fun. Harris not only the leading rusher but the leading tackler, so the kid was all over the place. And again, when it comes time to hand out some food from Clancy's, I think we're going to be talking about Mr. Harris again.
Micah Karn registered all 14 points for Piqua in this game. And we'll never know. Hallie Truesdale, the fine lady kicker for the Sydney Yellow Jackets, unable to go. Leg injury.
Could have been a three-point Sydney win.
Sydney misses a field goal from inside 30 yards. They miss an extra point. They miss a two-point conversion. PATs, like a year ago, big factors in this game tonight. Possession time, first half, was very even. Second half difference, 8 minutes. 8 minutes in the second half, that means that Piqua held the ball for better than 16 to Sydney's nearly eight.
Yep.
And that's difficult to overcome.
We could talk. Ryan Dunham was 17 of 25 for 170 yards and two touchdowns.
He
had a heck of a game.
He has really
got a heck of a game.
Yeah, we knew he'd be a fine quarterback a year ago. He's gotten better and better and better.
15 to 14 in first downs. Piqua had one more. You look at these stats, they're as even as the game was.
Mm-hmm. So many thanks to our anchor underwriting sponsors here tonight. American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, U.S. Bank, 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News with the best sports page coverage around. Also, Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed, Pemberton Jackson Center and New Knoxville, Brookins in Fort Loramie, Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, Clancy's in Sydney, Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville, Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney. Go to the website for more savings, Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Frisch's in Sydney, Troy and Tip City. What's your favorite thing? John Hemp Imagery in Sydney gives you his best shot. The in-between just south of Botkins, where the food's not in-between, it's out of this world. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282. In Rushi, the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum. Big shout-outs to them. The Jewelry Barn in Rushi, the gem of Rushi, Ohio. It will make your gift ideas come to life. And in Anna, Wells Brothers, Inc., which has grown to include eight expanding divisions. Sydney Yellow Jackets now 3-3 on the year. They'll play at Tippecanoe next week on the road in Tip City. And then we'll go to Troy the following week before closing at home against Butler and Greenville. Next week, Piqua entertains Greenville, then goes to Butler, finishes at home against Tip and Troy. And Piqua, by virtue of the victory tonight over Division II Sydney, Piqua being D3, Indians will snatch up some computer playoff points. And Piqua very much is in the playoff picture in its region of Division III. Sydney's got big-time work to do now in Division II and will most certainly have to win on the road at Troy.
Well, they're going to have to beat Troy. They're going to have to beat Butler. I mean, those are two games they might have been able, if they were one tonight, they might have had the opportunity to split one of them
right
and still get in, but now they got to win out.
Chuck, before we do close it out, any additional very late updates on scores? Fort Loramie was winning handily.
Loramie won handily. The last score I got was...
Layman was up big.
Layman thumped him.
Hardin Northern, the opponent.
Troy, 42-14, they pulled away. Anna was up 28-14 at the half. Minster was up 21-14 at the half. I haven't got another score after those.
Anna was playing Versailles, Minster, Delphi, St. John's.
Correct. And we still have our Clancy's to pick.
And we'll remind our listeners that should Anna hold off Versailles and win tonight, next week in Week 7, essentially it's a playoff game. Fort Recovery, Anna, big computer points at stake. Anna would need that victory. After winning tonight, Anna could vault to 5-2 next week. Rockets have got a couple more wins on the schedule, Weeks 9 and 10. Anna with a win tonight, a win next week, is looking very possibly at 7-3 and getting into the playoffs in Division 5, Region 18. If Anna beats Versailles tonight, that's the game we cover next week. Anna Fort Recovery kickoff 7:30, online at 7:05. Chuck, are Clancy stars of this game?
Well, I think it's a no-brainer for Caleb Harris. He just was a monster tonight, as he has been all season. So he gets one of them, and I think Ryan Dunham, I thought he threw the ball well, made good decisions, not his fault. No, I don't think he can find blame with anybody to look at the loss tonight, but those two young men kind of stood out for the Yellow Jackets.
And brought to you by Clancy's. Clancy's, Wapak Avenue in Sydney. Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sydney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sydney. Phone ahead at 492-8820.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner specials under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
Clancy's, Wapak Avenue in Sydney. Just heard of an upset down south. Fairmont with a late score nipped Miamisburg by a tally of 25-24. A real tough luck setback for unbeaten Miamisburg, knocked off by Fairmont by a point after Miamisburg had pushed ahead by two scores in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's a tough division in that GWAC with Wayne and Centerville and Fairmont. So, you know, not embarrassing loss, but it could hurt them playoff-wise.
Oh, yeah, sure could. Great game tonight, Chuck. Enjoyed it. Glad to be a part of it.
Yep. Nice to be back. Went down to see my kids. Had a housewarming for my daughter's new house down in Orlando, and it was great seeing them, but it was fun being back.
2 weeks ago, a thriller, St. Henry, Anna, won by Anna and OT. Tonight, a two-point game, Piqua nip Sydney. And should Anna defeat Versailles tonight,
They're up 35-14 now.
Well on their way to beating Versailles is Anna. Thus, we'll cover Anna Fort Recovery at Anna next Friday night, kickoff 7:30, webcast time 7:05. Excuse me. Ron Mooney is our scoresbroadcast.com chief engineer. Chuck McBee alongside Stats Color on-site engineering. Jack Kramer saying goodnight from Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field, where Piqua has edged Sydney 14-12.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.